will tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and less. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush took a tour of Walter Reed Army Medical Center today and promised better care for the nation's veterans. This visit came 6 weeks after the poor conditions at the facility were made public. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has begun a trip to the Middle East that includes a stop in Syria. The White House has criticized her decision to go there since the U.S. has accused Syria of helping the Sunni insurgents in Iraq, as well as militant extremist groups such as Hezbollah. On Capitol Hill today, this time behind closed doors, more top Justice Department officials testified in the 8 fired U.S. attorneys scandal. The Deputy White House Press Secretary said President Bush continues to have confidence in Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. In Boston today, Gonzalez admitted there was confusion in his role in the firing of the 8 prosecutors. However, he said again that he won't resign. Another one of the British sailors who was captured by Iran in the Persian Gulf a week ago appeared on Iranian state television today. He reportedly apologized for entering Iranian waters. Iran also released the third letter allegedly written by the only female crew member. In it, she said she had been sacrificed by her country. Once again, British Prime Minister Tony Blair insisted that the British naval personnel were in Iraqi waters. At the U.S. Naval Base in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, an Australian detainee who was held for 5 years has reached a plea deal. 31-year-old David Hicks was found guilty of supporting terrorism. As part of the agreement, he has to drop any claims of mistreatment by the U.S. government. He may face up to 7 years in prison. The suspected Saudi terrorist who recently confessed to his involvement in bombing of the USS Cole in 2000 said he was tortured into the confession. In the northern Iraqi city of Mosul today, 25 bodies were found by police. Most were shot in the head or tortured. Civil rights leader Jesse Jackson announced that he will back Democratic Senator Barack Obama for president in 2008. The U.S. Commerce Department will start to impose trade tariffs on some subsidized imports from China. This decision reverses a decades-long policy. The first duties go on Chinese imported glossy paper. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
If you're a news junkie, there's a book you must read called Don't Mess with the Press, How to Write, Report, and Produce Quality Television News. Don't Mess with the Press is a textbook for journalism students and a handbook for people already in the business. While written primarily as an instructional guide, Don't Mess with the Press is also useful for people who follow the news closely, who want to understand how news decisions are made by quality reporters to ensure they get the best news coverage possible. Don't Mess with the Press was written by Tony Seaton, founder and executive producer of the Quality News Network. Tony began his broadcast journalism career in his teens, eventually covering Watergate, 6 elections, 5 space shots, and a wide range of general news. He also produced Barbara Walters' news interviews for ABC. Ordering information for Don't Mess with the Press can be found at qualitynewsnetwork.com. Visit our website and click on the Don't Mess with the Press link.
The FDA has now found a chemical used to make plastics in the recalled Menu brand's pet food. The government test did not confirm the presence of rat poison, which was found in another agency's testing. By this fall, the price of milk could increase as much as 30 cents a gallon, according to agricultural economists. They say rising fuel and feed costs, as well as more global demand for milk products, are the reasons behind the boost. The Commerce Department reports that in February, construction spending increased by the highest amount in 11 months. Additionally, consumer spending was up 0.6% for the month. The USDA expects corn planting to increase by 15% this year. This will also mean a decrease in soybean, cotton, and rice production. For the third time, the agency that oversees the Internet has turned down the idea of creating a XXX domain name for adult websites. The .xxx designation was opposed by much of the porn industry as well as religious groups. Nationwide, the average price for a gallon of unleaded gasoline is $2.62. Since the end of January, the cost has increased by 48 cents. Light sweet crude is trading at $65.87 a barrel, and at the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow was up 6 points, the Nasdaq was up 4 points, and the S&P 500 was down 2. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov.
Okay, don't you
stop America.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Six minutes exactly after the hour, at least here, I'm Bob Kincaid. We've made it to a Friday. And I got to tell you, I'm just glad and grateful to be with you. For a while there, it looked like I wasn't going to be. We had a computer crash. Actually, we didn't have a computer crash. We had a computer sort of smelling like it was burning sort of thingy going on. And again, there's a downside to trying to be green. I'm trying to follow my good brother John and be all green and environmental and quit using so much paper and just keep the stories open on the PC. And, you know, it takes a few hours to sit there and come up with all your stories and everything, make little notes here and there and yada, yada, yada. And then something starts smelling, well, not good. There was an episode many, many years ago of My Three Sons where Chip had his little garage band going, oh, cool, groovy, neato, man. And at some point, you know, the lights went out, something snapped, some sparks flew, and one of Chip's bandmates looked at him and said, man, not groovy, that smells expensive. It was that smell. But we got everything switched out. And I kind of recreated everything that I had ready for this evening. So I hope we're going to be okay. I hope. My first inclination would be to start the program by talking about Dear Leader's visit to Walter Reed today. You know, 6 weeks after the Building 18 scandal, he finally found out where Walter Reed is. I used the Google. Jesus. But if I do that, I know that the show starts out with, you know, busted blood vessels in my eyeballs and a big ugly headache and me screaming and getting all red in the face, and I ain't going to do it. So we're going to back slowly away from Dear Leader's visit to Walter Reed and deal with it a little bit later in the evening or afternoon or morning, depending on where you are. And I'm going to start out by acknowledging, you know, I don't go in for organized religion. No, 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 no. Bad thing, organized religion. Bad, 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 bad. But every now and then you sort of got to acknowledge that there is an energy in the universe that it'll either work for you or against you. And it worked against me in the last 24 hours. My beloved West Virginia Mountaineers won the NIT last night in basketball. They beat Clemson and beat them handily, thoroughly. I received congratulations from our good buddy Clyde at WD40.com. as well as congratulations from David in Tennessee and David in South Carolina. David in South Carolina being, in particular, a graduate of the University of South Carolina, and therefore always takes great joy in watching Clemson lose. If Clemson was losing at drywall finishing, David would be there rooting on the other side. And that's who we beat last night. So, also last night, if you recall, I had a wonderful conversation with one of my favorite authors and a great friend of the show, a gentleman by the name of Jeff Biggers, who is author of The United States of Appalachia, a wonderful book that you need to own and that you need to send to non-Appalachian people, because we get 1.79865432.68 cents on each book purchase. And in the course of that conversation, I raised the issue of a promo I'd heard, wherein I heard someone in the promo refer to our soldiers having to resort to hillbilly armor. And took that, that didn't play so well with me. Because it seems like making fun of the hillbillies, that we're the last people on earth that you're allowed to make fun of. Look at that hillbilly armor. And I said as much. And I pointed out that, and Jeff and I both pointed out the fact that the stereotypical representation of an Appalachian person is sort of bigoted and rotten. So, as it turns out, last night, at the same time, roughly, that Jeff and I were having this conversation, my beloved West Virginia Mountaineer basketball squad, which was expected to do exactly nothing this year. Nothing. They graduated 5 seniors last year. I mean, there was speculation that they wouldn't even make it into the Big East tournament. And they wound up winning the NIT. Which in some ways is better than making it into the NCAA tournament and losing in round one. So they win it. And you know what happens when you win a big thing. They bring out the trophy and they got the ball caps on and bring out the t-shirts and yada, yada, yada. Well, the t-shirts that they had on said West Virginia University, NIT Champions 2007. There's only one problem. West Virginia was misspelled. The t-shirts, and they're there for you to see if you want to go and use the Google, say West V-I-R-G-I-N-A, West Virginia, West Virginia. And I felt like it was payback. I felt like it was a smiting of sorts. I smite thee for thy anti-bigotry hubris. I smite thee, Bob Kincaid, be smote, be smitten. West Virginia. Because, only us. It couldn't have gotten any worse if I had found out that the announcer had gone up to WVU coach John Beilein and said, "I want to congratulate you and let you know that I've got an aunt in Roanoke." Oh, God. Ouch. But as it turns out, it's not our fault. There was no West Virginian involved in the production of those t-shirts. So where I started out feeling like I had been smote just a little bit, it turns out Jeff Biggers and me, we're right. Because you see, before the game, the NIT people had boxes and boxes of t-shirts printed up, some of which said West Virginia NIT Champions, and the other ones said Clemson NIT Champions. You know what? They didn't misspell Clemson on the Clemson NIT Champions t-shirts that they didn't get to use. Oh, no, they spelled Clemson correctly. It's just poor little us, poor little West Virginia, bedraggled third world state supplier of most of the energy of the United States, West Virginia, that the hoi polloi and the hoity-toities in New York City can't bother to spell right. You know, and you know, that's the thing. When you go have t-shirts printed, they send you one back and say, is this how you want it? Does this look okay to you? Have we got it all right? Eh, screw it, bunch of hillbillies. Yeah, that's fine. But lo and behold, no, go and have a look. There it is, you know, for everyone to see. Let's see, Fox Sports, and I've got the story from Fox Sports, not because I went to Fox Sports, I wouldn't do that on a damn dare, but it's what was linked at MSNBC.com. Here's a cutie. Headline, NIT title t-shirts are almost heaven, H-E-A-V-U-N. West Virginia may have won the National Invitation Tournament, but the Mountaineers' commemorative t-shirts are less than championship material. They contain a misspelling. The West Virginia painted on the t-shirt, printed on the t-shirts players wore after the winning NIT title with a 78-73 victory over Clemson on Thursday night, is missing the last I in Virginia. WVU Sports Information Director Shelley Poe said the NIT printed the t-shirts. Yeah, looks good to me. Print up 200. Jesus. Do you want? Are we done now? Do you want further proof of? I mean, these guys were dominant all the way through the tournament. We were listed as one of the teams that really, really got a righteous screwing by the NCAA selection committee. You know, they were howling about, oh, Jesus, Drexel didn't get into the tournament. Well, Drexel bowed out in the first round of the NIT. Oh, God, Syracuse sure did take it on the chin. Syracuse bowed out in the NIT. A bunch of freshmen, sophomores, one senior, carried it through on nothing but heart. And the people who printed up the championship t-shirts didn't even think enough of them in the state of West Virginia to spell the name right. Now you tell me who's the ignorant person, the hillbillies or the city folk? I'm sorry, it kind of pisses me off, it really does. I mean, what's next? And of course, but that's not the end of it. This is a little bit of a West Virginia pride thing. The newspapers all over the state of Michigan are typing. That's not writing. That's typing. Are typing all over the place about how Michigan needs to come down and take away WVU's basketball coach because only a fool would stay at West Virginia when mighty Michigan came calling. One guy went so far as to write, after all, the rap on John Beilein is that he can't recruit. I say, the man recruits in Morgantown, West Virginia. Wait till he gets to Ann Arbor. I've been to Ann Arbor. I wouldn't take 6 dozen Ann Arbors for one sweet little Morgan hole, West Virginia. But that's me and I'm biased. We'll take a break. We'll come back to your phone calls, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4. Head on. What am I listening to? I'm Bob Kincaid.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman, with steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
Oh, the Queen of Mumbly Rock, Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, 23 and almost 24 minutes after the hour. I got a funny feeling about tonight. Let's go to the phones, though, straight away. Our good buddy Andy calls in from the UK. Haven't heard from you in a while, Andy. You doing all right?
Well, I am now, man. How are you?
Some better.
Right. I've been ill, and before that I've had no web access, and it's just one thing after the other. But hey, I'm back.
But you're back. You're better. Everything's okay.
Yeah. This is the final day of being sick. I feel I'm definitely. I can kind of talk and breathe at the same time, and you know, do the whole like breathing through the nostrils like you're supposed to, things like that. It's very impressive.
Yeah, I consider that a real bonus.
Yeah, I haven't done that for 2 weeks nearly.
Ick.
Yeah. Well, I had all my tonsils and my adenoids removed when I was a kid, so I have no real defenses against cold.
Right, well, you know, things are blooming and blossoming and turning green here, so I give it about 2 weeks, and I'm going to sound like somebody's turned me upside down and poured concrete in my sinuses.
Oh, pollen, is that a problem for you?
Oh, terrible.
I don't have any of those problems. My girlfriend gets snotty as you like all summer, but I'm completely clear from here on in.
I never had it. I never had any problems with it until I began living here.
Oh, yeah, it's probably just some local variant, some plant that you're particularly allergic to.
Yeah, or maybe some mercury coming from a coal operation, or
it could be.
Yeah, garbage thrown into the air by blowing up mountains. One never knows.
Well, no, no. And, yeah, look, I want to get on to the topic that really means something, and that's not your Virginia Mountaineers.
That's West Virginia. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Bob. Forgive me.
That's okay. We still love you.
I can spell it right, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, the point is not that they can't be bothered to spell it right or that they're ignorant. It's that it doesn't matter. It wouldn't matter if it was you or any other place. If they got it wrong, once it's printed, oh, we can't waste that money because it's all about getting money in. Do you know what I mean? It's not about spending more money to correct mistakes.
Yeah, they'll never notice.
That you see, correcting of mistakes, that's what's called an externalized cost. It's like, you know, the car industry don't have to pay for the havoc they cause by designing badly designed and prone to crash cars. None of their business, though, is it? And it's the whole capitalist system, and it's all set up like this by who? By the banks. And who runs the banks?
The rich?
Yeah, the names are Rockefeller, Morgan, all these other ones.
Yeah.
And there's like maybe 7,000 people that this benefits, and maybe another million or so that are the buffer of super rich between the ultra rich and the super rich. And the whole system is set up inefficiently. So mountaintops are blown up because it's cheaper somehow to blow up a mountaintop to extract a few measly tons of probably not particularly high grade coal to burn than it is to build, say, I don't know, a massive solar collector in Arizona. I mean, here's some figures. On average, by the time sunlight hits the surface of the Earth, on a cloudless day, you get about 1,000 watts per square meter. So that's about a square yard.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, so averaged over the entire surface of the planet, 24 hours a day, each year, each square meter collects approximately a barrel of oil per year's worth of energy, or 4.2 kilowatt hours per day.
You could go a long way with the average household with that, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, if all households were built to passively absorb heat and repel it in the summer, if you constructed them right, south-facing windows, skylights, proper insulation, proper shape of the house, all that sort of stuff, and if you then place solar heat collectors on top of them to heat water, the solar both heating water for washing and for radiators, and then you could slap a whole bunch of solar cells on top, and you've got a house that is effectively energy neutral. It produces more energy than it uses.
Well, it has been done around here. The Tennessee Valley Authority, which is a government organization,
local government probably.
Pardon?
Local government, I think.
No, federal government.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, they're out of step with the administration, then.
Well, no, every time there's a Republican in the White House, they try to take the Tennessee Valley Authority out and strangle it. Their last really clever attempt to kill the TVA occurred when they started building nuclear power plants.
Mm-hmm.
And that drove power rates throughout the TVA right through the roof, and because at one point TVA energy was the cheapest in the United States. But anyway, they've done housing developments that are not only carbon neutral, but non-consumptive.
Yeah, I mean it's not beyond our technology to build, you know, a house that doesn't pollute or, you know, and actually produces some net energy for local businesses. And I mean, when you're talking about places like Arizona, which have much higher sort of power levels than the average, you're probably going to get maybe 2 or even 3,000 watts per hour. And if you use like the huge sort of, I mean, I'm looking at a picture. If you type in solar thermal concentrating system, solar thermal concentrating, then you get the like pictures of things that are in where is this, California. And it basically looks like a whole bunch of like curved mirrors, like troughs, angled towards the sun, with a tube running down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a light, but instead of the light firing into a mirror and reflecting out, sunlight's hitting the mirror and hitting the tube. And the tube has got a liquid in it. And that liquid gets real hot, like 300 degrees Celsius. And then it runs to a steam turbine, a steam driving electric turbine.
Well, there's all kinds of stuff out there. I mean,
well, that's running now in California that produces.
Yeah, but way back in the 80s, Andy.
Yeah, from the
80s. I was privileged to work a couple of summers roofing houses.
Mm.
And anybody who's ever been in a place like Alabama, hauling 40-pound squares of shingles up a ladder and putting those asphalt shingles on a roof. No, I mean, yeah, I dude's boots would melt.
Yeah.
From the heat coming off, you know, that black asphalt. You know,
yeah.
And you know, we're not even talking about a solar collector. Find a way to, you know, to capture that, because almost everybody in America has an asphalt roof.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I mean about the whole water heating systems. You can get literally a simple box that sits on your roof that's black and is covered in glass, and it'll absorb all the heat that's emanating off your roof, all the heat that strikes it directly, you know, and just boils water.
There are little tiny hydroelectric turbines, and I mean little tiny. If you've got creek running in front of your house, you can put in it.
Around in each hand, one in each hand.
Yeah, and you can generate tons of electricity off of that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's all a question of scale, because, of course, look, the reason they burn so much coal in a power plant to get hundreds and hundreds or thousands of megawatts is so that they can fire it down these lines that degrade the signal. So you lose power. That every millimeter or every inch it has to move down a power line, it's losing power.
Yeah, most people have read about ELF radiation or, you know, electromagnetic field radiation.
Well, I mean, if you want to experience it, go and stand under a power line and listen to the buzz. That's it losing power. Because you can hear it from you know, sometimes up to a mile away with the really big ones.
Right.
I imagine it's worse over there, where they've got even bigger amounts of power running through the system. Because, I mean, we've got a big national grid, but ours is about the size of the state of New Jersey's national grid. So I don't know what your national grid is like. And, I mean, the national grid system was a good idea when power production was effectively very limited and they didn't know how to do it. But arguably, since the 60s, we should have been going for broken grid systems, where you have a series of big power lines that can be used if necessary. And other than that,
well, and if you do something like that, Andy, among other things, you wind up with, you know, if Cleveland goes down, you don't necessarily lose New York or Toronto or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and the ridiculousness of the system we have is just because it benefits the super rich. You know, taking wealth is what it's all about.
Well, it kind of, but even that, but the power grid is so eminently wasteful. Somewhere along the way, there's got to be an accountant, you know, a sort of a lone wolf like in the movie Brazil, who's sitting there going, "We're losing money on the stuff that goes, you know, on the wires."
Yeah, but that person probably complained about 70 years ago and was shut up, and nobody said anything since. I mean, you know, look, once a system's established, it's like tradition, isn't it? You know, I mean, talk to some southern right-wing traditionalist about tradition and ask them, you know, but it's just something you do because you've always done it. It's not really worth it. And see what happens, you know. And businesses work the same way, and government-run businesses are the same. Even more so, because once it's established and all the questions have been shut up, which they try and do in the first, you know, month of opening something, Once they've shut all the questions up, they don't care about increasing efficiency. Efficiency is irrelevant. Efficiency is something that we think about. It's not something that people who are making money hand over fist think about.
And, of course, the proof in that lies in the mad, utterly insane dash in this country to build 1960s-style, antiquated, worn-out, uber-polluter, coal-fired power plants. I mean, I think the last I read, there's 400 or 500 of them in the active planning stages. Like, you know, they've already got the site and they're going to break ground. And
it doesn't surprise me.
And there's 40 years of technology that they're just ignoring because that's expensive to us.
Well, Nate, look at it this way, right? They've already got established the systems for extorting the money out of the government. Oh, if we don't get the rights to blow up those mountains and take that coal for nothing and not pay you any royalties, the power will go out. So the government can't afford to say no. And of course, there's a huge fat check waiting for the official who says yes at the end of their government career. And so the coal company take the money they've been given by the government, and they take out the fat check amount and put that to one side and earn the interest on that in the meantime, and then they blow up a mountain and sell the coal. And because there's nowhere to burn it, they then get a grant from the government to build a coal-fired power station somewhere to burn it so that they then have a demand to fulfill and blow up another mountain.
Well, there's another side to this, too, Andy. And it is something that sort of been rolling around my brain for a few days now. The genesis of this lays in a press release that I saw from my congressman, and I like my congressman a lot, Nick Rahal. He was on the program a couple of nights ago.
Yeah, I managed to hear that one, yeah.
Good guy. Right on a lot of issues, but he recognizes that he represents a district and a state that are sort of mercantilistically tied to coal.
Yeah.
And so he's very proud of this project he's got now where he's convinced the Air Force to start flying jets on liquefied coal fuel. That's the same response I had.
Go and find a fish from one of these horribly polluted rivers or creeks or whatever it is you call them. Take it down to his office and slap him in the face with it. I mean... Where do you start?
But see, that's the thing. What we've got to find is a way to mine more coal here, not less, because
thing, right?
Because it's so good for us.
How about, instead of a liquefied coal engine, you come up with another engine that's proven, not one that has yet to be developed, okay, which is a compressed air engine. Now, I reckon that with all America's technical ability, you could make a jet run on a compressed air engine. If you can make a truck run on a compressed air engine, which you can, I'm sure you can make a jet run on one. Yeah?
And sure.
Then you tell him, we need the creeks that they're blocking up and destroying, because with all of those, we can provide as much hydropower to the compressors as they need. I don't know. I mean, that's an idea I just came up with off the top of my head.
But the thing is, Andy, that's the kind of thinking that not just America, but the world needs.
I know. I mean, it's so obvious. And the problem is, because it's so obvious, we fall into the trap of they're so stupid. And, look, George Bush is stupid, but the people who control the world aren't. You know, what's his name? Nicholas Rockefeller, David Rockefeller.
Well, you know, the point is, you talk about a compressed air engine. If you find a way to let the world's uber rich charge for air, they'll be all over it.
They're already trying to.
And then we're really screwed because we'll have to pay to breathe.
Yeah, well, Bob, why do you think the pollution of the world is going on at such a pace?
Because there's a buck in it.
Well, yeah, but also because they know that there's going to be a buck in it at the end when people turn to them and go, help us, the world's polluted, we need people who are in government to provide for us.
And then there will be a big industry in mitigation.
Well, they'll do what they always do, problem, answer, solution. Look at 9/11. Oh, no, here's a problem. Boom, our towers have fallen down. Three buildings, through fire, all on one day. Ah, the terrorists. Oh, here's the answer. Let's go and blow up another country that we've been getting ready for months. Oh, that was a coincidence. And
look at us. We're so smart.
Yeah, the solution is then eternal war against the terrorists to keep you safe. You know, which just so happens to have a bunch of things like losing all your rights and being allowed to pick up any citizen of any other country in the world anywhere and just kill them and, you know, all sorts of other fascist things. But there's the solution. And this is what it's all about. It's what they always do. I mean, you know, the British government, there are documents you can just search up and look at where they've done this before. Do you know what I mean? And just,
yeah, sure.
Know, openly admitting they've done it before. And then they turn around again this time and say, oh, no, we're not doing that.
No, we're doing something different.
You know, I mean,
if
they
yeah.
even bother, even if they even bother.
Yeah, oh, I know. But you mentioned something and you've made me want to shift gears for a minute. First of all, I have to tell you, and I tell you this with great pride, we're doing some interior redecorating around here in the studios, Andy.
Right.
The other night, a good buddy, new caller, friend, blogger, calls himself South of Strange.
Oh, I heard that call, yeah.
Called in, and I was hanging out with him, and it turns out he deals in flags.
Flags.
We're going to be doing some interior redecorating here. I have the Scottish Pringle.
Right.
I have the Welsh Lion.
Lion?
Yeah. You know, the green with the white field with the lion going across it?
That's a dragon, mate. It's supposed to be a dragon.
Oh, sorry, dude. It is a dragon. I'm dragon. My bad. My bad. So we got the Pringle, we got the dragon, we got the Erin Gebrah, and we got the old English flag.
The George's Cross?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to be doing some redecorating. But I wanted to let you know that, because I was thinking about you when I was buying the flags.
Well, the Union flag as well.
That
represents the entire Commonwealth and all those little islands everywhere that keep getting forgotten.
And maybe submerged?
Well, maybe a few of them, yeah.
But anyway, to take it on to the next level, is there any talk over there? I mean, the nation has got to be eaten up about these hostage sailors, right?
Well, it falls into the two camps that you'd kind of expect. There's the vast majority of sheeple that just look at the 10 minutes of news they're able to catch a day and go, oh, isn't it terrible? Look at how somber the news people are, and look at how horrible the pictures they're showing are. And then there's the other camp that go, where was the warship?
but wait, is there no camp over there, like, marching up and down in front of 10 Downing Street, screaming, bomb Iran now?
No, we don't have that, but even if we did, they wouldn't be allowed to do it because they're banned the other side doing it, and at least we enforce both things evenly. Not allowed to protest anywhere near Downing Street anymore.
But, I mean, anywhere, okay, in front of...
There's no one asking for war.
Trafalgar Square, anywhere. Nobody is saying go get
the... Well, Murdoch's papers do, but, you know, apart from that, nobody takes that seriously. I mean, even people that read The Sun won't say, yeah, let's go to war just because The Sun says so. I mean... Once they start the bombing, people will come, you know, most of the majority will fall behind the Prime Minister for a couple of months, and then, you know...
Well, the reason I ask is our buddy Bart Kopp at BartKopp.com, in his page today, has an editorial cartoon that shows, you know, a mullah with the thing on his head and the robes and clipboard walking into a prison cell, and he says, "Tell the British prisoners to relax. They'll be questioned using only CIA-approved enhanced interrogation techniques." And I saw that, and a whole sort of world opened up before me.
Look at it. It's called reaping what you sow, isn't it?
And well, of course it is.
If those British soldiers are tortured, then it's a terrible thing, and I don't want them to be. And I don't think they will, because I think Iran's got more sense, and they're certainly a lot more moral than the CIA are. I mean, say what you like about rabid fundamentalist Muslims, they don't tend to abuse, like, prisoners.
No, unless they're busy removing your head from your shoulders.
Well, I don't know. They're busy doing that if you're one of theirs. But when it comes to prisoners of war, look at the comparison way back when the fundamentalists ruled in the Middle Ages and when the fundamentalists ruled Christianity in the Middle Ages. The Christians...
Oh, you mean like when the Christians took Jerusalem and slaughtered every Jew and Muslim in the place?
That's what I mean. But when the Muslims took it back, they didn't slaughter all the Christians. And they didn't treat the Christians particularly badly. They have a history of treating prisoners very well, better than us, I would argue, because, I mean, the British treat prisoners...
And you guys kind of have a history with that region, and you know that, don't you?
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. And look, you know, the whole where were they? Were they in Iraqi or in Iranian waters? That question is not being covered by the media, because the media are playing the line they've been told to play, which is we want war, because George Bush says so, and he can't get war from Congress, so Britain's been asked to provide the excuse.
Yeah, the casus belli, sure.
So those people left, as they say over here, arse is hanging in the breeze, out in the middle of a waterway where nobody knows where the territorial line is. Now, Britain said it's the middle of the river, but that hasn't been true since the Iran-Iraq war.
Well, the Iran-Iraq war was started in part because there was no...
whether or not it was in the middle of the river. Yeah,
because the Shatt al-Arab waterway... there are rivers in the U.S. broader than that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, the Mississippi's probably loads broader than that.
You know, the only way we can keep Arkansas and Tennessee from going to war with each other is by declaring that it's in the middle of the river.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, the whole thing is that the Iranians say that they were in what they consider their waters, and the British say that they were in what they consider Iraqi waters, and both sides say that they have the coordinates to prove it, and both sets of coordinates are different. Now, is that surprising? Have you ever dealt with two feuding five-year-olds? Now, I know you have.
Oh, boy.
I mean, I don't have kids, and I've dealt with two feuding five-year-olds, and you basically have to go, you go and sit over there, shut up and leave each other alone, thank you. This whole situation is purely contrived, and I think the vast majority of people in Britain think.
Well, what the hell is Tony Blair talking about, Andy, when he says, if you don't give our sailors back, this thing will move to the next phase?
Well, I think Tony Blair doesn't really. I mean, he looked like he was bricking it when he said that. I mean, he really did look like he was, you know, wearing adult nappies and filling them. I mean, he knows that if he actually starts something, then goodbye all the British soldiers in the south of Iraq even. Goodbye all the British naval forces in the Gulf, because I don't give a damn how old or obsolete Iran's navy is or how small it is compared to that wonderfully huge battle force the British and the U.S. have there.
They got some really shiny new missiles.
They have silkworm missiles. So what are you going to do about them then, huh?
They got missiles, you know, we'd call them torpedoes, but they move at missile speed under the water.
Yeah, hyper torpedoes, yeah. What are you going to do about even just the silkworm missiles, ignoring the torpedoes, even just the silkworm missiles, what are you going to do about them? You're perfectly well within their range. It's not like firing them right.
Well,
off,
and we've kind of proved, as far back as the Reagan administration, Andy, we proved or had proven for us that that much vaunted Aegis missile defense system that basically throws wads of aluminum foil off the bow of a ship, and it's called chaff.
Yeah, they have what they call
it don't stop much.
No. Well, I mean they fire off these huge gouts of chaff, and apparently if you read Tom Clancy, he'd have you believe that they can search and destroy hundreds of missiles all in seconds and launch missiles from ships all over the...
Dude, it rained in Alaska last year and took down our much-vaunted Star Wars system.
I know.
Our missiles got drowned.
Well, this is the weirdest thing about that one, Bob. How many missiles, and I'll answer this one for you, 10,000, does the nuclear arsenal contain in the United States? Now, okay, some of those missiles are on submarines, which are supposed to be underwater, but the vast majority of them are in missile silos. I remember those like scenes of the people in the 60s and 70s taking like, you know, drills to the concrete and proving they're not hardened missile silos, all that sort of stuff. These silos are all over America. What, did they only build them in deserts before now? Have they had no experience of water?
We built
them. I mean,
no, the short answer is this. We built them on the cheap.
Of course you did.
Because we have a defense industry. We don't have a war industry. We don't have an industry that's concerned with American national security. We have an industry that's concerned with selling crap to the government. You know,
yeah.
our weapons.
Part of the, and who runs that industry? The banks.
Ronco. You know,
KTEL. Who runs that industry? The banks. And who runs the banks? Rockefellers. All of it always comes back to the same group of people.
But these people are so antsy with their money, Andy.
Well,
but they buy garbage.
But Bob, they print the damn stuff as well, so they know it's worthless altogether.
We're buying worthless crap with worthless money.
Well, no, you know that the US dollar and the British pound and all the other monies in the world are all completely worthless, don't you? You know that when the government wants money, it asks a private bank, the Federal Reserve, to print more money, or in fact nowadays put more zeros on a screen.
Yeah, and oddly enough, historically speaking, I think that goes back to one of the Viking invasions of Britain.
Well, the first proper banking thing was a bad debt by Elizabeth I. That was where the Bank of England was formed, and a bad debt was intentionally created. They borrowed a load of money off people and just didn't pay it back. And the private bankers that got to borrow the money made out like bandits, and we started the colonies. That's the first kind of recorded instance of fiat.
Oh
fiat money.
God! You know, it would be so funny if it wasn't so damn tragic.
Well, no, and the thing is, the cold kind of, what do we have? We have superinflation, we have inflation, we have stagflation. Money goes up, but everything's stagnant. All of these things are artificially created by the bank, and I'm going to say the bank, meaning the Federal Reserve, meaning the people who actually run it. Do you know what I mean? The Federal Reserve isn't the World Bank, but the people who run it run all the other ones, so it might as well be. And literally, they are given the right to create money out of thin air, not backed by anything. All that stuff about gold at Fort Knox, it doesn't matter if there is or there isn't, because that gold is not backing the US dollar. So your dollar is effectively completely worthless. And here's an interesting historical fact. If you have a 1 ounce gold coin now, yeah, do you know what that'll buy you?
What?
Let me tell you. A suit, a pair of handmade shoes, and a handmade belt.
Now, yeah, that's about right. Yeah, good.
Yeah.
And an off-the-rack suit, mind you. An off-the-rack suit, not bespoke from Savile Row.
No, just bespoke shoes and belt, not bespoke suit. But you go back 2,000 years. Do you know what it would buy you?
A country?
No. A brand new pair of sandals, handmade, a brand new handmade belt, and a brand new toga off the rack. And that is absolutely true. The real price of goods has not changed, because the real price of goods is in the labor. And all that's changed...
God, you're so trenchant.
...is that these bastards have got their hands on it, and they're screwing us for every penny that they can print and hand to us, and then make money off charging us back for. Yeah? This is what it's all about. It's a big rip-off. And, you know...
So how do you get out of the cycle?
How do we get out of the cycle? We take control of governments. Because the reason that these...
Or maybe you start... Do you just stop participating in it? Do you just stop participating?
No. You take control of government, and then you tell the government to arrest these bastards and put them in jail.
But what about, you know, I've got 6 potatoes to 2 rutabagas of yours?
Huh?
I mean, no, I'm serious. You know, you talk about, you know, that gold coin doing it. And, you know, this is not the survivalist show where we start buying, you know, dehydrated food and stuff and storing it in the cellar.
Although that's not a bad idea.
But you know, stop participating in the artificial marketplace.
Well, here's the thing here. Stop using credit cards. Cut all of that out. Use cash as much as possible.
Yes. I did that a long time ago.
Yeah, and everyone should do it, because basically credit cards are the ultimate coining of money, because they don't even have to coin the money. Do you know what I mean? They can just charge you interest on stuff.
Well, I talked to our buddy John Fox down in Australia, and he said, cash? What is cash?
Yeah, no.
There aren't any Australian dollars.
They're trying to wipe it out over here, too. I mean, basically, they're trying to wipe it out, because once they have everybody with a chip inside their hand, which has already been talked about, that you swipe for everything, then they can simply switch off, you know, people like you and me who are irritating to them, that cause them some moments of discomfort because we tell the truth to other people. Well, we'll just have our account switched off and we can go starve. And this is literally what, I mean, you know, would you put it past the Rockefellers to do this?
By the way, you mentioned the Rockefellers again. I got an instant message from one of the chatters in the room, who's a little bit put off, who would like to remind you that the Rothschilds live in Britain and could buy the Rockefellers 6 times over.
Well, the Rothschilds are part of it, too, and they don't live in Britain. They live in America, on the whole. So,
do they really?
They have houses in Britain, but they have houses in France, Germany, Switzerland, Sweden, and you name a country, and they own some land in it. You know what I mean?
Same. Oh, God, you just reminded me of a terrible joke, and I'll save you from it.
But the Rothschilds, bunch of bastards as well. If you want to hear me say that, I'll say it. They are all evil, evil, evil bastards. And I'm sorry for using that word, but it's the only one I can use.
No. Sometimes you got to use the language as the language presents itself to you, Andy.
What's the point of having the words if we're not going to use them?
Yeah, right. I had an interview pitch the other day from somebody who wants me to bring on some Christian right people to talk. Talk about why language is bad.
Yeah.
I say use more of it, Bob.
Can I talk to them?
You know what? If I get them on here, if you can make sure you're there, by God, you can have them, Andy.
I don't want to. I don't want to get you completely slated in the right wing.
No. I want to be an enemy of the right wing. I really, really want to.
Tell you what you should do then. Get Rosie O'Donnell on your show.
You know what? That's not a bad idea.
Because she's seen the light. Do you know what I mean? She's seen the light. She realized 9/11 was an inside job. And as soon as you realize 9/11 is an inside job, or anything like that, you know, any act of terror, 7/7, whatever it is proves it to you, that you realize that a government is capable of killing hundreds or thousands or simply uncaring numbers of people.
You know, Operation Northwoods did it for me, Andy.
Well, there you go. You know, as soon as you look at 9/11, and then somebody goes, this was written by the CIA in the 1950s, 1960s, read that. And you read Operation Northwoods, it's like, ah.
Look, any organization that would be willing to try to poison a man's beard would be willing to do just about anything else. Because, you know, they went after Castro's beard, and you know, with beards being beards, you know that somewhere in the bowels of the CIA or the NSA or the LSD or whatever, no, they're using the LSD at the NSA, there's some guy saying, you know what, what we've got to do is put hair removing cream in Osama bin Laden's flea powder, never realizing that at the same time they're saying this, That means that somebody would be able to get to Osama.
Well,
I mean, do you see what I'm saying?
The problem is, Bob, again, it's a great point, but the point is that Osama bin Laden has openly stated he never did 9/11, and he's never ever stated that he did in any recording that's at all provable to be him. The only time he ever said, I did it, was in that video where it's not Osama bin Laden. Okay, and I mean, you know, look, I'm quite good at
Yeah, it's got the faces. Sign behind it, signed Epstein's mom. Yeah, I know.
Well, no, I mean, I'm good at Muslim faces. I live in an area that's literally half Muslim from places like Iraq and Saudi and from places like Pakistan, okay? And so I know how to judge the differences between these sort of, like, Middle Eastern brown people, as it were, and they are not the same person. I mean, you can just hold up two pictures, and anyone should be able to tell you that. But, I mean, if you actually study the two pictures...
Dude, you've never seen a crime victim go over a photo lineup in an American police station.
This is the thing. But at police stations, the reason it's so skewed with criminal things is because the police skew it so badly. Do you know what I mean? That's why you get so many convictions on what person's seen, because the police go, is this the person you saw? Is this the person you saw? Is this the person you saw? This is the person you saw, isn't it? And...
Yes, that's him.
You know, the police just want a conviction because, again, it's all about, you know, the police aren't actually there to protect us.
Well, but they're working schlubs too.
Well, you know, I mean, look, the police think they're there to protect you and to protect and serve and stuff like that.
No, that's what makes them able to sleep at night.
Well, yeah, but, look, you know, why do you have SWAT teams? Why do police...
Because the police can't get the job done.
But there's a police... There's a police unit somewhere in, I can't remember which state it is, but it's a completely landlocked county. It doesn't even have a river, okay? And they've got six amphibious armored personnel carriers, military grade, that could have been used in Iraq or down in Katrina.
Well, the ones that, and they had them in the Louisiana National Guard, and they sent them at the time that Katrina hit, they'd been sent.
No, but Bob,
to the desert.
National Guard. They were National Guard. They're supposed to have them. This is the police. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
Military,
okay.
Police.
I'm a little slow.
Military and police. Now, is that a bad thing? Because I think it is. I don't like seeing the scorpion-dressed dudes with their beetle armor or whatever they love to call it, all clad in the armor and the goggles with the Heckler & Koch MP5s or the M16s. An M16? What the hell is a guy carrying an M16 on the city streets for? You know what I mean? It's like, okay.
Well, but the reason for that is psychological. It's to get people seeing people carrying M16s
on
the street.
Yeah, to get all of you guys and us over here into thinking that it's okay for guys with guns to wander around telling us what to do. Do you know what I mean? And again, this is part of the control thing. They need to control the police. They control the finance institutions. They control the military industrial complex. They control food production to the most part in America. They control, you know, and then just one by one, they're taking away everything it is to be a free person. And then they're going to come for you and your people individually later on, and it's going to be the same situation as that Russian guy says. If we'd met them in the stairwells with axes and knives, they wouldn't have come for us anymore. But because it never happens like that, you know, there'll just be a few guys out in the hills who'll actually hold up a fight, and that's where you hillbillies come into your own.
Yeah. Although I talked with a right winger the other day who I said, you know, he said, you know, we'll have to fight him over here. And I said, you know what? If they come over here, I'll fight him. Yeah. We will fight him. He said, no, we won't. And you know what? He's half right.
Well, they won't.
The conservatives won't. The right wingers won't. The Republicans won't. They're cowards.
Mm.
Well, they'll reach a separate peace and, you know, they'll be happy.
Well, the bizarre thing is that a lot of people who are liberal just don't want to be associated with anyone who's called right-wing. And, of course, during the 90s and the 80s and the 90s, anyone that was anti-government was declared right-wing, you know? And these guys aren't necessarily right-wing. I mean, look at Alex Jones. Everybody says he's a right-wing nut, and I don't think he's right-wing. He believes in God, but so do lots of liberals, and he believes in owning guns, and, well, so do lots of liberals, and he believes the government is a big conspiracy run by the banks, and...
So do lots of liberals, and, yeah.
In fact, about the only thing I can see that makes liberals think that Alex Jones is right-wing is he's willing to get in people's faces and scream at them in public. And I think that's great.
But you enjoy the theater. Andy, we got to roll. We're on top of the news. I'm so glad to hear from you.
Well, I'm glad you let me yabber for so long, man. And I will ring again soon.
You know what? One of these days we'll do an Andy and Bob show.
Yeah, man. Sounds good.
All right.
I'll start preparing material.
Get well. Our best to Hazel.
I will do. Thank you, man. Take care.
All right. Later.
Goodbye, mate.
Bye now. Love my chats with Andy. Sometimes it's like little cold water. What's the line from Dr. Strange? A little cold water on the back of the neck and the code. That's what we need. That's what we need. A little cold water on the back of the neck and the code. That little scrub and brush up. Yeah, that's what we need, Jack. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid. More of your phone calls next at 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, Head On. We will be back.
I'm here sitting in the wreck of Europe with a map of Europe spread out in a hall of a sign. Every single nationality and principality have come for a piece of the pie. I'm sitting in the wreck of Europe with a map of Europe and the lines and the borders are gone. Gotta do this jigsaw puzzle, it's an awful muddle, but somehow we gotta go on. Lawrence of Arabia is waiting in the wings. He's got some Arab sheikhs and kings, and we're in debt to them somehow. Lawrence of Arabia has got this perfect vision, gonna sell him down the river. There's no time for him now. I think I'm gonna take a piece of Russia and a piece of Germany and give them to Poland.
For Reed Army Medical Center today, promising better care for the nation's veterans. His visit came 6 weeks after the poor conditions at the facility were made public. Mr. Bush apologized for the unacceptable conditions and said, "We're going to fix the problem." That's a quote. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has begun a trip to the Middle East that includes a stop in Syria. The White House has criticized her decision to go there since the U.S. has accused Syria of helping the Sunni insurgents in Iraq, as well as militant extremist groups such as Hezbollah. Pelosi will be the highest-ranking official from the U.S. government to go to Syria in recent years. On Capitol Hill today, this time behind closed doors, more top Justice Department officials testified in the 8 fired U.S. attorneys scandal. The Deputy White House Press Secretary said President Bush continues to have confidence in Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. In Boston today, the Attorney General admitted there was confusion in his role in the firing of the 8 prosecutors. However, he said again that he will not resign because, quote, "I am fighting for the truth as well," unquote. Another one of the British sailors who was captured by Iran in the Persian Gulf 1 week ago appeared on Iranian state television today. He reportedly apologized for entering Iranian waters. Iran also released the third letter allegedly written by the only female crew member in it. She said she'd been sacrificed by her country. Once again, British Prime Minister Tony Blair insisted that the British naval personnel were in Iraqi waters. At the U.S. naval base in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, an Australian detainee reached a plea deal. 31-year-old David Hicks was found guilty of supporting terrorism. As part of the agreement, he has to drop any claims of mistreatment by the U.S. government. He may face up to 7 years in prison. The suspected Saudi terrorist who recently confessed to his involvement in bombing of the USS Cole in 2000 said he was tortured into the confession. The blast on the warship at a harbor in Yemen killed 17 U.S. sailors. You're listening to the Quality News Network. A look at science and business news is just ahead.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to RightCarRightPrice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The FDA has now found a chemical used to make plastics in the recalled Menu brand's pet food. The government tests did not confirm the presence of rat poison, which was found in another agency's testing, the New York State Food Laboratory. The FDA has asked the Swiss pharmaceutical company Novartis AG to stop selling its drug Zelnorm, which is used for the treatment of irritable bowel syndrome in women. Medication is linked to a higher chance of heart problems in patients, such as heart attacks or strokes. By this fall, the price of milk could increase as much as 30 cents a gallon. That's according to agricultural economists. They say rising fuel and feed costs, as well as more global demand for milk products, are the reasons behind that boost. The Commerce Department reports that in February, construction spending increased by the highest amount in 11 months at 0.3%. Let me say that once more. That's 0.3%. Additionally, consumer spending was up 0.6% for the month. Light sweet crude oil has been trading just below the $66 a barrel mark today, currently trading at $65.87 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow up 6 points at 12,354, NASDAQ up 4 points, the S&P 500 down 2. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Almost 7 minutes after the hour. And to come back to the thing I got started on, I hope the young men and the various folks who got the NIT Championship T-shirts that say West Virginia, hang on to them, because, you know, that could wind up being like the Beatles' Butcher album. You know, hang on to that. Yeah. Are they on eBay yet? I don't know. But I just stepped outside during the break just to get a breath of fresh air. And you know what? What a beautiful day. What a beautiful evening it is here in the hills to be left the hell alone. And I got to thinking about this because our youngest brought a family tree assignment from her class. Her teacher had given it to her, brought it in here for us to fill out, and I started, and I ran out of tree for taking it back, you know, and all these people come from families who came to this part of the country to be left the hell alone. And yeah, you can get to West Virginia via the interstate system. You can even fly a plane in now. But it has a lot to do with what Andy was talking about in the last hour. There's a lot of the multinational stuff that we've been told that we need, and we feel like we need because we've been told we need it. And a generation is passing now that knows what it is to raise everything you need on the ground you live on. And as far as the Walmarts and the entire nation of China is concerned, the sooner we forget that, the better off we are. But you know what? There are places where you trade potatoes for beets and tomatoes for parsnips, but you get what I mean. So I'm really excited about the prospect of getting my garden going soon. Every summer that I raise a garden means something to me. It means that, no, it doesn't mean we wouldn't starve, because we would under certain circumstances. But as long as I can keep the tradition alive of knowing how to grow your own food and to do it without the aid of Monsanto or ConAgra or Archer Daniels Midland, it means that maybe there's that tiny slim percentage exists that maybe my progeny and Agnes's progeny can live on long after we are little more than names on a Xeroxed family tree that the youngest brings home to say, who came before me? Let's go to the phones. Sarge is with us. Hey, Sarge, welcome to the program.
Hey, congratulations to the Mountaineers.
Well, thank you, Sarge. It's nice. I think the last time we won the NIT, it actually meant the national championship.
Well, you know, when we won it at 82 or 86, I forget which year, the first game we had to play was against Ole Miss, and when we won the NIT, they kept calling us Ole Miss, which was, you know, a slap in the face because that's our biggest rival.
Right, exactly.
You know, that's the Trent Lotts and the Haley Barbers and all them that go to Ole Miss, you know.
Well, I was telling a buddy of mine last night, Sarge, I'm excited for next year because there's a redshirt freshman who will no longer be redshirted as of next year, by the name of Jerry West Jr.
Uh-oh. I know that name.
And I don't know if he's a great basketball player or not, but you know what? If he's his daddy's son, he's got a heart as big and as proud as the mountains around here.
Well, you know, usually the NIT champion goes on and makes the NCAA field the next year. So, and that Mississippi State team that the Mountaineers beat, that was a good team. That's a solid ball club that they
It beat. Was. You know, there was something weird that happened in the SEC West this year, where it's like nobody wanted to make it to the NCAA tournament.
No.
You know, Arkansas backed in.
Yeah. Well, you know, at Southern Miss, we won 20 games for the first time in all several years. You know, our program, after we won the NIT, the next year we went to the NCAA, and then we just kind of dropped off the face of the earth. But we finally got back to a winning season last year, so maybe next year we'll make the NIT.
Well, you know, you got to maintain that kind of hope. And, of course, there are thousands and thousands of listeners right now going, we tune in for liberal politics. They're talking basketball. Bunch of rednecks. Yeah.
Well, see, you have to, because if we talked about politics here in Mississippi, what we got to talk about is Trent Lott, Haley Barber.
Thad.
Katrina.
Thad.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing but bad news.
Well, and what's his name? Your Congressman Gene Taylor. You know, he did it again.
Yeah, he has a tendency to do that. That's his fort. He plays both ends against the middle, and I just don't take him serious. He's into Katrina, but the reason he's into that is because he lost his home in the storm too. So he's fighting for his own interest. So he's not fighting for the people. I don't have any faith in Gene. Of course, when you compare who we got other than him.
Now bear in mind, Gene is a raving liberal.
Yeah.
Compared to most of the Mississippi congressional delegation.
Well, look what happened. You probably didn't see this. The night before last, Steady told me that in the Sun Herald newspaper that's published down in Biloxi, that some guy named Geis, some right-wing politician down there, gave Haley Barber a pistol for his good work with Katrina issues, and said it was meant by God for you to be governor at this hard time in our history. You are a godsend.
Oh, don't you just want to run screaming into a wall?
Oh, man, I just... And see, the Sun Herald is in with these casinos, and they're the ones that perpetuate this myth of if you speak out and say what kind of problems you're having, then you're a whiner, and you don't want to be like the people in New Orleans and be whiners.
But see, you've got something going on down there on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, Sarge, that is actually similar to what we have up here in West Virginia. You have the casinos, and it's very much like the coal industry up here, because there's a sort of foregone conclusion that that's all there is,
yeah.
And that you have to support the casinos, or the entire state of Mississippi will just fall in on itself like a house of cards. It's like Tunica has been there for 1,000 years all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, the people... just don't here, and it's changing. It's changing. The work that we've done in Jackson County has really changed Jackson County a lot. We're actually starting to get attention in Jackson County for I hate to use the word progressive cause, but I guess that's what I'll use. But it's actually starting to take hold there, and that's what's changing the people. But when you get off the coast and you get into the areas, you got those few like the Sun Herald, but when you get off of the coast, then you get into the areas like where I live, where they still believe that the Republicans are conservatives and you never vote for a liberal because the liberals hate America. So you go figure, because...
And so much of that changes. It seems so very, very simple. So much of that has the possibility, and I would say likelihood, strong likelihood of changing if we pass the Employees Free Choice Act, Sarge.
Yeah, we have.
Because, and let's remember, that was introduced in the Senate, I think, today. Either today or yesterday,
thing,
by Ted Kennedy.
Another thing, I know you won't mind me mentioning this, but we also need to support stuff like No Sweat. That Head On Radio has it.
Yeah.
Next time I buy clothes, that's where I'm buying from. Because if we don't support our union workers, we are destroying our own jobs. We're destroying our own lives, basically. Because if you look at the state of Mississippi and you look at every category that shows a diminishing of living the American dream, you find Mississippi has it. And it's nothing but the conservative mindset. It's this, we got to vote for the Republicans because liberals hate America attitude. Or voting because, well, George Bush is a good Christian failure. You know, these kind of ideas, that's what we've got to get away from. We got to pay attention. Like, for instance, the situation I told Dr. Bill about today that I'm having.
I heard that, and that's just horrifying, Sarge.
And I notified them. In fact, I mentioned it on your show, I believe. I know I mentioned it on Head On, about when all of this broke in the first place with the nursing home, and that I had reported the nursing home to Social Security that they were lying to this woman, telling her that she couldn't leave. And then Social Security turns around and tells me, well, we can't do anything about that. That's not our problem. Yes, it is their problem. It certainly is their problem. Because someone's defrauding them, and it's a corporation, and they're getting a lot more money than I am. And I need my money. In fact, before they cut my check, I wasn't even getting $600 a month. I think it was something like $575 a month, maybe. And then they turn around and cut my check, which, you know, saying I owe them $900-something from overpayment.
Oh, I know what's gone on there. They've claimed that you've had assets coming in, or had assets that you didn't report, and they're going to withhold the sum of your check until such time as that asset is made up.
Yeah. I challenge that on the basis that, number one, I'm having to pay her bills. You know, I'm paying my bills and hers. And they said, well, she doesn't live in the household, so she has no need of those bills. Excuse me, but you leave your house. You and Agnes, the children, leave your house, and y'all go away and don't pay your electricity or your gas or any of your other utility bills, and then come home. Will your stuff still be intact? Of course not.
No. I mean, And you don't even necessarily have to have a disaster situation for that to obtain, Sarge. I mean, I can tell you from my own experience, I don't care to air a little bit of my own laundry on the air. I was taking care of my dad's home down in Alabama. Well, I'm not there. There's nobody there. And bad things are beginning to happen to the place.
No.
And I hope to hang on to it.
He's right.
But I'm not going to be able to.
These right-wing minded people, it's like I was in the grocery store today, and the clerk that I'm really good friends with, she and I were talking about the Republican mindset and how weird it is now. All of a sudden, our good friend, the Saudi prince, has decided that we are illegally occupying Iraq. Shock. You know, haven't we been saying that for what? 5 years now.
Yeah, but what's happened there is that, you know, his, oh God, I can't even begin to figure out Saudi succession. I think it was his brother that was king before him, and you know, dude died at like 85 years old. Okay, he had been king of Saudi Arabia since either his daddy or his brother was whacked. And they had a profound relationship with the United States of America because we had literally lifted them out of obscurity with the oil business.
Right.
Okay?
And that, well, look what they've done for the Bush family, too.
Well, but the thing is, the Bush family almost becomes negligible because they had that relationship with every American president, to be fair.
Yeah.
The Bush family, you know, got in bed with them with the Carlyle Group and yada, yada, yada with all of that. But what has happened is that the King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia is part of a new generation. And he's part of a generation that doesn't remember getting its ass handed to it by Israel the last time that the Arabs tried to gang up and get all pan-national.
Yeah.
And so he has started the same siren song that has been sung throughout that area since the end of the caliphate of Umar or whomever, and that is that there's going to be one, you know, it's like something out of the Lord of the Rings, you know, one ring to rule them all, one ring to bind them, blah blah blah. There's an inclination there to have that they want one ruler, and you know, in the Quran he's the caliph, and it's only after there's one caliph that the super secret Mahdi can come back, the 12th Imam in Shia mythology. And when that happens, well, you know, it's all frisbees and wheat checks for the Muslim world.
Well, you know, it's Bush doesn't know the difference between a Sunni and a Muslim and a Shiite.
Yeah.
And he didn't before the war. I think he does now. But
God knows he still hasn't heard about the Sufis.
Yeah. Well, he's still trying to work on what those curds were. He thought that was some kind of pudding or something.
Yeah, I thought that had something to do with Little Miss Muffet.
But you know, the
spiders.
When you have a leader like Bush who has no inkling of what's going on in the world, and then he turns around and he's hurting our economy, and he's setting it up where situations like what I'm facing with this nursing home debacle is so easy for these corporations to pull off because he sets it up for them to cheat the system. And then the one that gets stuck is the one at the bottom of the barrel.
Sure.
And
sure.
Now here I am. The reason I'm on SSI in the first place was because I wasn't getting the care through the VA system that I needed. I had to drive 85 miles to get to the nearest VA hospital. All right, to get to the nearest VA hospital, I had to hire someone to drive me because there is no transportation system. So naturally, it was a hardship to get to the VA system. This you know, made me decide I'm going to apply for SSI, and I got on it due to my physical problems. And then they turn around and still do in the VA system. Now they're cutting Medicaid. Like here in Mississippi, you get 5 prescriptions a month. It doesn't matter whether your doctor has you in for 7, 8, 10. It doesn't matter. You get 5, and only 2 of them can be name brand. If you get 3 name brand, you got to get rid of one of them. Regardless of how much...
Who comes up with that crap, Sarge?
This is your conservative mind.
Yeah, that's your conservative government at work. That's your Republican government at work.
And if you look at the national system, they're following that same pattern. That's why Mississippi has the most premature death of any state in the Union. That's why we have the most crib death. That's why we have the most unemployment. That's why we got the worst education system, which, by the way, Haley Barber's running on his education success. I mean, but the sad part is people are buying it. But
A, B, C, D, Q, P, R, Z, L, M, T, K. Yeah, thanks, Mr. Thanks, Governor Barber.
Yeah, can you believe that? He's running. Now, but these people are actually buying in. It's just like when he ran for governor, he ran on this platform that we were losing our manufacturing jobs in the state. What he didn't run on, what he didn't mention in that campaign, he blamed Musgrove, the Democratic governor. But what he didn't mention was that George Bush had shipped a lot of these jobs out. Of course, Clinton didn't exactly get in the way either. But a lot of these jobs started leaving when Bush came into office. Of course, Barber never mentioned that. But this is how they do it. They just lie out their teeth, or they take some half-truths and they twist them around to fit their purposes. And until we, the people, start making informed decisions, this is what's going to happen. And if you think my fight is bad, which it is, just think, I'm a veteran, now I'm getting screwed over because I aborted the VA. I mean, Jesus, how in the world do you people expect to have a military if you can't treat your veterans?
Yeah, but it's all going to change now because George found Walter Reed after 6 weeks and found Building 18. He went and he apologized.
Well, he found it on Google, didn't he?
Yeah, he found it on the Google.
Yeah,
it's just full of maps.
I believe it too. Yeah, but I mean, if we don't, and we got the liberals have to join in on this. We have to keep fussing. We have to keep putting pressure on the Pelosi's, on the Gene Taylors, on the Dennis Kucinich's, on all of our representatives to keep fighting. I mean, we've got to keep exposing the Gonzalez's. We ought to be demanding Gonzalez step down.
I don't want his resignation. I want his conviction.
Well, yeah, but then
I want him convicted, disbarred, and forever banned from getting within 500 miles of the corporate limits of D.C.
Well, you know, he can't be disbarred because there's no proof that he had consensual sex in the Oval Office.
Oh, God!
You have to do that to get disbarred, don't you?
Don't. Just
listen, Bob, I'm going to let you go, and congratulations again to your Mountaineers.
Well, thank you very kindly, Sarge. I do appreciate it, and I'm sure they do, too. I'm awful proud of them, a bunch of youngsters.
I hear you. Hey, that's a national title, man.
Yeah, it is. And the other thing is, that's one young man out of that group graduates. Everybody else comes back and plays some more.
Wow. Okay, take it easy, Bob.
We'll see you, Sarge. Have a great weekend, all right? As good as it can be, okay? Take care. Our good buddy Sarge in southern Mississippi. 28 minutes after the hour. We've got a little break coming. We'll come back. Your phone calls if you want. 877-443-2366. 877-4. Head on. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice, a voice heard at headonradionetwork.com, at whiterosesociety.org, at WD40.com, at iTunes Radio, and places that I'm not even fully aware of yet. We'll be back. I'm Bob. I just crashed my car again. Now I'm going to Disneyland. I just robbed a grocery store. I'm going to Disneyland. President George, I'm going to Disneyland. I'm going to
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to irs.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Just a jump to the left.
And then a step to the right that we damned well won't take. 26 and a half minutes before the hour, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. And you know what? Every time Agnes plays that song, I remember. It was like when the chatty snake brought his basket of apples to the garden. I think I was in 10th grade, and we had some new transfers into the high school from, like, big cities. And they came into the theater department there in Florence, and they had this music, and they were talking about this thing called Rocky Horror, and everything went upside down after that. And I don't know where Debbie went, and I know what happened to Erin. She went on to become a very famous disc jockey somewhere along the way, but yeah, they introduced Sin to our innocent little the theater department at the high school where I graduated. Oh, shucks. Let's go to the phones. Bob's calling from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
all hail the mighty Mountaineers.
Well, yeah.
All hail the mighty Mountaineers, men that go and do things that cannot be done, and others must denigrate them.
By misspelling their state.
By misspelling their name, or calling them like we did in Vietnam. We called them gooks, or dinks, or slopes.
Yep, third worlders.
Yeah, we called them less than us, and they were better than us in Vietnam, and they whooped our butts, and I'm proud of them, boys. Thank you, my great gratitude to the mighty Mountaineers of West Virginia. Thank you.
I missed the game last night. I wish I'd gotten to see it, because apparently it was a righteous butt whipping.
Glad they whooped their butts, because them where do they come from? Them other ones?
Clemson, South Carolina.
Some kind of misbegotten children of misbegotten children.
And they had before that beaten Air Force to get to the final game.
Yeah, and they were tough boys, yeah, and they would come up to West Virginia and whip on some mountain boys. Them hillbillies you talk about are my folk. They're the folk I come from.
And, you know, that's the thing we were talking about last night with Jeff Biggers, is that, you know, you can have people like you in North Dakota, or, you know, people in Kansas or Missouri or New Mexico, but you know what? The path went smack dab through Virginia.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. And Bob, you know, I love you folk. I love you folk so much with all my might, all my heart, all my soul, and I love them boys. I love them for what they did. I love them for their spirit. I love them for their strength. But I want this nation to rise up and be as strong as they are, because they were slighted by less than they are. You know, they were slighted, and yet they rose to the occasion. And now it's time for us all, the nation of the United States, to rise up and rise to this occasion and just stand against this tide of filth and lies and these misspellers, okay? I'll call them misspellers, okay? They can't even spell.
Well, you know, that's what Jeff Biggers pointed out last night, Bob, was that just as every... And he makes a very strong point in the book that everything worth having in America started in Appalachia, and as we move into the 21st century, our energy independence is going to come from Appalachia, and it's not going to come from Appalachian coal. It's going to come from Appalachian determination.
Yes, it will. It will come from the strength of the people that live in that part of this nation, and it'll spread like a wildfire. We will reap the harvest of this. Strength of the people of West Virginia. Not, what was that, Roanoke?
You've got an aunt in Roanoke, yeah. That's
Roanoke, you know, in Roanoke, Virginia, that ain't even close to West Virginia. Strong men that go underground and dig out the coal and give energy to the nation, and have done it for, what, centuries now, I believe.
Yeah, a little over a century, yeah.
Yeah. Pretty close to two centuries. We've been here, what, 200 and what, how many years?
Well, see, it was the little town not too far from where I am. It is named after a fellow by the name of David Anstead. And David Anstead was a geologist. He was a pal of Charles Darwin.
One of those.
And he discovered, and he found out how much coal was under the ground here. And that was sort of the beginning of things, because suddenly lots of British money found its way to Appalachia, and literally, you know, took everything we had.
Do you realize?
And took our riches, carried it out of state, carried it out of nation.
Yes, of course they carried it out of England. They carried it out of what was that the Welsh used to say? You know, they talk talk about Britain or Great Britain, they talk about England as if England is Great Britain, but it's, there's a Scots, there's the Welsh, there are many nations that have been incorporated.
Well, that's why that's why we're hanging those little flags in our studio redecoration.
I listened to Andy from the UK tonight, and I said, yes.
Don't you just love Andy?
Oh, I do. I because he is a very intelligent man that's been, you know, kind of at least in touch with the past and realizes where we came from. And like me, I know where I came from. I'm not proud of what I've done, but I'm proud of where I've come from. I really am. And I have come from a strong people, a determined people, people that will not just lie down. Like, I listen to this, I listen to some, you know, some stuff today about these, these guys who want to knock these lawyers out and take over the nation by stealing your elections from you. People, you have to realize these are Republicans, Bob. You
well, you know, never mind the name. What they are is they're thieves, they're brutes, they are the barbarians at the gate.
Yes, they are. You know,
they're no different than the Huns at the gates of Rome, or the Vandals, or the Visigoths, or
Yes. They are all of that.
Barbarians is barbarians.
They are that and more. These are the filth that you fear in the middle of the night. They are the things, they're the vampires, the things you see on TV, these, you know, kind of little...
Yeah, because, I mean, just because you can put a suit on them and they know what to do with the shrimp fork,
yeah,
doesn't mean they're any less barbaric.
No. If you watch this Karl Rove gyrating on the thing, trying to be a black man, you know, my God.
You got around to watching that, did you?
Yeah. It gyrating around trying to be a black man. I was in Vietnam with black men, and I fought side by side with them. They are my brothers. My black brothers mean more to me than myself. And I lost more than I would like to speak about. And I bagged them, and I tagged them, and I sent them home to their mothers. And I swore I would never, ever think of myself as a white man again. And that's how, you know, I understand.
See, Bob, that's the thing. That's the thing. You know, we have these conversations, and you say these things, and they just come out as words, but I doubt if there's a one of us who could imagine the emotional process that took you to that point, because most of us have not been where you were.
I know that.
You know, God knows George Bush wasn't there, I wasn't there, Dick Cheney wasn't there.
I don't ask you to go there with me. I just want you to understand how much I love my black brothers much more than I love these pink or opaque. I don't even think they're white. You can see right through them. You can see through Rove. You can see through Bush. They're cowards, Bob. My black brothers, they're the Tuskegee Airmen. They are the...
They're the guys who drove for the big red one.
That's right. They are my brothers, Bob. And the thing is, it's sad that this nation, this United States of America, has denigrated and allowed itself to be drawn into this filth that is the Bush administration. It is filth, Bob. It is filth. And anyone, any sentient being can realize it, but there's a sadness. I listen to them. I hear these right-wingers, or these right-wingers, whatever you want to call them, coming on the air and talking about mighty George Bush. George Bush has the balls. Excuse me.
That's okay. You can say balls.
Of a little boy. They haven't even descended.
I was thinking housefly.
They haven't even descended. They're still stuck up in his, into his abdomen. He does not have courage of a man, because I guarantee you, if he was standing before me, I'd slap him like he was a boy. I'd tell him, get back in your room.
Well, it must not. It couldn't have done you any good today, Bob, to see the story of him finally finding Walter Reed Army Medical Center.
No. Don't talk to me of severed limbs and suffering children, because you know what? Every day since I came home, I have remembered what I saw there. Now, I told someone last night that, you know, I was in the Tomcat, and I was talking to him, and I said, I bagged and tagged more Marines and sent them home, and I sent them home in bags. They were green, and we zipped them up, and we put them in there, and we bagged them, and we tagged them. And you know what? I remember the faces, and I see them in my dreams, and I can't get them out of my mind. I cannot forget them after all these years. So don't give me no little white pill and tell me it's all over, because it never leaves you. So these sons of mine that are in Iraq, these daughters of mine that are suffering now, are your fault, America. America, every American citizen. I don't care if you're Democratic or if you're Republican.
No, we could have stopped it, Bob.
Yeah, you could have, but you didn't. And that's the problem. Now it's time to stop it before there are more of them, because I see the, 27,000 that have been maimed, crippled, or, you know, they don't even give you.
Well, it was a considerably younger man than you, our new buddy South Estrange, a veteran in his own right, but he wasn't involved in the fighting. He'll be the first to tell you, but he'll also be the first to tell you that a military is more easily broken than most people would even imagine.
Yeah, well, it's broken when the spirit of the nation doesn't have the strength of the fight.
Okay, now, Bob, let me ask you something, okay?
Okay.
I love our conversations, and I want this to work linearly, because I want people to hear your straightforward thoughts. I had a conversation with a right winger the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And this right winger told me that we won't win in Iraq because we don't have the guts to win in Iraq, and explained to me that I could never possibly understand that because I hadn't served in the military.
Okay.
He said, now we've got 130,000 people over there, and 30,000 of them probably are belly achers, and they don't want to be there, and they'll say that we shouldn't be there, and they'll say anything that they feel like that ought to be said if it'll just get them the hell home, because they don't have the stomach for the fight.
Bob, if you're in the damn fight, you ain't got the stomach for the fight. And you're in it, you can't not have a stomach for the fight. Don't tell me those boys and girls there don't have the stomach for it. They got to go into it every god.
Go ahead.
Blessed day. They got to go into it every day, and you don't. You Piglican punk, you come here. And
Now, dude was a veteran, okay?
I don't care if he's a veteran or not. He said he was a veteran. I doubt it. I've heard people say they are veterans. You got to go into that fight. Your guts may eat you. Your brain might tell you to run, but you can't run, because if you run the other way, the other guy will shoot you. So you got to get into the fight. So you get into the fight, and when you're done fighting, you puke your guts out because you just killed some people. And you look into their faces, and you see them, and you see their dead eyes. You see that grayness. crossing their eyes, and you see it in your own mind. You can't, you cannot, you can't exist in this universe if you cannot see that, Bob. When you take a life, you take your own life, because you look into their eyes and a piece of you goes with them when you kill them. And I've killed them. God, oh, God, forgive me, I killed them. And God...
Bob, I didn't aim to hurt you.
No, I tell you the truth. You don't know...
Well, what do you... Okay, well, wait a minute then, Bob. What do you do with these people? When they sit there and they tell you, you know, well, you know, Bob, now wait. Dude looked at me and said, you know, because you Democrats want to end the war, that you're going to wind up fighting them here.
Oh, bullshit.
Go ahead. No, because that's...
Squat.
Okay, now wait, because I looked at him, Bob. Now, Bob, wait. I looked at the guy, and I said, listen, if they want to fight us here, for God's sakes, let them come here.
Yeah.
Because I will fight them.
Let them come.
You know, I'm 44 years old with swollen ankles and bad aim, but by God, I'll fight them. The liberals I know will fight them.
I'll give you a better analogy.
And he said, no, we won't.
Hey, Bob, I'll give you a better analogy. I'll give you a Georgie Porgy pudding and pie, the analogy of it. Bring them on. Bring them here. Bring them to North Dakota. Okay? Bring them on. I'll have a piece of them. And they'll have a hard fight when they hit West Virginia, because I'll have to hit them mountaineers, and there's going to be some whooping butt.
These dudes have never lived in temperatures below 90 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's right. So, hey, bring them to North Dakota.
But this guy, but Bob, wait, okay? Wait for a second. This is why the guy said this to me. He said, you let them come here, you let them fight us here, you let them make a little ruckus here, and you'll see people converting to Islam faster than you can say boo, because we don't have the stomach for the fight here either. But, you know, there's some truth to what he said, Bob, because you know who will convert?
Who?
Carl Rove will convert.
Yeah, well, he'll be
Republicans will convert.
He'll get him a little prayer rug, and he'll be...
Southern conservatives will convert.
Bob, come on. The only people that won't convert are us liberals, because, hey, we don't play that game. We're not that stupid. And, you know, I said this many, many times on the head-on network, I said, stupid is as stupid does. I mean, the only movie that came out of Vietnam that made any sense was Forrest Gump. Stupid is as stupid does, and we were stupid when we went in there, and we were stupid for what we did, and we did stupid things, and we were guilty of crimes against humanity. But who among us Vietnam veterans have actually said that? Not many. Most of them think, well, gee, we could have won the war if only Jane Fonda hadn't gone there. If Jane Fonda hadn't gone there and Joanne Baez or whatever her name was hadn't gone there, we would still be there. Thank you, Jane Fonda. Thank you. And thank you, Bob Kincaid, for being on the air. And that truth...
Well, I'm not... I mean, you know, I don't... Like I said, I would not hurt you for anything in the world, Bob.
Yeah.
And
Bob,
I didn't mean to take you to bad places.
But when I
talk to people like this, because this was an educated man, okay? This wasn't some toothless, ignorant redneck from down under the bridge drinking screw top wine.
Okay.
This was a guy with college degrees, who explains to me that who is patiently explaining to me that the only answer is to eliminate all Muslims.
Huh?
And you know that runs against everything that I know, everything that I believe, everything that I hold to be true or dear. And he's sitting here telling me that, you know, we live in a nation of collaborators.
Hmm.
But the funny thing is, he thinks that you and me, the liberals, he thinks we're the collaborators. He thinks we're going to be the ones who run off and grab a prayer rug and start bowing toward Mecca. I'll tell you right now, it'll be a cold day in hell when I bow toward anybody, anywhere.
Hey, you know what? I bow to no man. I bow to no president. I bow to no king. I bow to no God. I bow to nothing. I am a liberal, and I expect from my leaders at least that much, that they do not bow to me. I expect them, if I elect them, to do the job I sent them to do. And most of our elected leaders bow. They grovel, Bob. They just get on their knees and they crawl up to this squatting monkey. And they ask him for favors. Well, I ask no man a favor. None.
None.
No favor. I don't ask you a favor if you are standing before me desiring to take my life. I do not ask your favor. I just ask you this one question. Do you have the courage to do what you just came to do? So I'm saying to the American people and to the people of the earth, do you have the courage to do what you got to do? And the truth is, we must impeach. We must take this man out of office, like Mike Malloy says, peacefully
and legally.
And legally. If that is our course, then let us do it as a people, as a nation, as a world. Get these filthy Republicans out of office and keep them out of office, and never in the course of history allow this filth. Oh, Glenda has a question. I'm sorry. She's...
No, that's okay.
No. Hey, okay. You have swollen ankles, Bob?
Oh, they do from time to time.
And Glenda says, if Bob has swollen ankles, he needs magnet anklets. And so you must, through Agnes or maybe...
Okay.
Sundry ways, send us a message! Okay?
Okay, Bob, I got to roll. We're on top of the news.
Love you much, and hey, son, hey, I love you.
Didn't mean to stir you up, brother.
No, stir courage to our great, wonderful, what do you call them, mountaineers? Yeah?
Montani Semper Liberi. Mountaineers are always free.
Hey, yes, they are. And hey, like me and like you, we will fight together, and we will overcome as our great and wonderful brother Martin Luther said, we shall overcome someday, and the day has come to overcome. And hey, oh, I'm just happy I got to follow Sarge, because hey, he's a good man.
You know what? I get every night we fire this thing up, and I get to talk to some of the coolest people on planet Earth. Bob, you take it easy, brother.
Okay.
We'll catch you on the end of the weekend.
Well, hey, send us a size, and we'll take care of the measurements. Okay. Bye.
All right. We'll do. Later. I don't know what this is that Agnes just fired up, but it's awful cool.
Yes, it is.
We're going to come back, and you know what? We ain't nowhere fresh out of outrage. No. We got at least an hour's worth left. You are listening to America's liberal voice. You're listening to your own voice. This is The Horn, the head-on radio network. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush is promising better care for the nation's veterans. His tour of Walter Reed Army Medical Center comes 6 weeks after the poor conditions at the facility were made public. The president says he's planning to, quote, fix the problem. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has begun a trip to the Middle East that includes a stop in Syria. The White House has criticized her decision to go there since the U.S. has accused Syria of helping the Sunni insurgents in Iraq as well as militant extremist groups such as Hezbollah. Pelosi will be the highest-ranking official from the U.S. government to go to Syria in recent years. On Capitol Hill, this time behind closed doors, more top Justice Department officials testified in the 8 fired U.S. attorneys scandal. The Deputy White House Press Secretary said President Bush continues to have confidence in Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. In Boston, the Attorney General admitted there was confusion in his role in the firing of the 8 prosecutors. However, he said again that he won't resign. Another one of the British sailors who was captured by Iran in the Persian Gulf 1 week ago appeared on Iranian state television today. He reportedly apologized for entering Iranian waters. Iran also released the third letter allegedly written by the only female crew member in it. She said she had been sacrificed by her country. Once again, British Prime Minister Tony Blair insisted that the British naval personnel were in Iraqi waters. At the U.S. Naval Base in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, an Australian detainee who was held for 5 years reached a plea deal. 31-year-old David Hicks found guilty of supporting terrorism. As part of the agreement, he has to drop any claims of mistreatment by the U.S. government. He may face up to 7 years in prison. The suspected Saudi terrorist who recently confessed to his involvement in bombing of the USS Cole in 2000 said he was tortured into the confession. Civil rights leader Jesse Jackson announced that he'll back Democratic Senator Barack Obama for president in 2008. Colorado Republican Congressman Tom Tancredo will announce his bid for the presidency. That'll be on Monday. And a fast-moving brush fire burning in the Hollywood Hills coming very near to the world-famous Hollywood sign.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have 4 convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our 4 branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank, SBA preferred lender and equal housing lender, member FDIC.
By this fall, the price of milk could increase as much as 30 cents a gallon, according to agricultural economists. They say rising fuel and feed costs, as well as more global demand for milk products, are the reasons behind the boost. By January, they expect the average retail price for a gallon of whole milk to be $3.35. A government report indicates that this year will be the largest planting of corn in the U.S. since 1944 because of strong demand for ethanol, which is derived from corn. Along with robust export sales of corn, the USDA expects corn planting to increase by 15% this year. This will also mean a decrease in soybean, cotton, and rice production. Iowa is the top corn-producing state in the U.S. For the third time, the agency that oversees the Internet has turned down the idea of creating a triple X domain name for adult websites. The .xxx designation was opposed by much of the porn industry as well as many religious groups. San Francisco may soon, perhaps as early as later today, break its old record for gas prices, which is $3.36 a gallon for regular unleaded. Light sweet crude at $65.87 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow up 6 points at 12,354, NASDAQ up 4 points at 2421, S&P 500 down 2. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Five and a half minutes after the hour, as we roll on down toward the end of this broadcast week, at least for this program, I'm Bob Kincaid, and before I do any stories, let's go to the phones. Susan joins us. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Well, I'm sure like most of the female audience, I'm afraid Gunny had me in tears. And I lived through that war just like he did, only I was fortunate enough not to be in the same
place. Yeah, you were on the home end.
Yeah. Two things. Oh, I just went blank on one of them.
That's
oh,
okay.
Yeah. The thing with the Iranians and the British. Can anybody spell Gulf of Tonkin?
Well, yeah, there's that. There's that. But what I think is more telling at this point, beyond the... Because I think it's fairly clear that this was designed to be... or they hope to use it as casus belli.
Yeah.
But more than that, it's, you know, it was like getting hit by a rock between the eyes when I saw the editorial cartoon over at Bart Cop today.
No, I haven't been to Bart Cop today.
Well, it's a beautiful little cartoon, and of course, trying to describe a cartoon on radio is a classic case of dancing about architecture. But, you know, there's a guard by the door saluting, and there's a mullah walking in. And behind him is a guy with an executioner's hood, with, you know, carrying sharp, pointy things and ropes and a bucket and so forth. And underneath the mullah is a balloon that says, "Tell the British prisoners to relax. They'll be questioned using only CIA-approved enhanced interrogation techniques." And you know, wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall of Tony Blair's bedroom?
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't you love to hear Tony just sort of, got out of the shower and, you know, put his jammies on for the night and sort of scratching himself and walking toward the bed and going, you know, maybe letting Bush's attorney general define torture as only something that causes organ failure or death isn't such a good idea. Because you see, Susan, what's at work here is that none of these goobers, be it Bush, Gonzalez, the Crisco, John Ashcroft, Rumfield, Cheney, Condi, Blair, any of the people who think Blair's a really cool guy still in Great Britain, the one thing that they sort of took for granted is that none of ours would ever be captured.
Oh, yeah. But then again, do they really care? Because let's face it, the only thing they care about is what's going to happen to me. Now, you know as well as I do, they're never going to put themselves in a situation where they will be captured.
The leaders in any war, any modern war, never get hurt. You know, after all the hell and damnation that Napoleon caused, they only sent him to Elba.
Yeah, let's face it. They're probably thinking, oh, hell, it's just a grunt.
I think they do think that way.
Oh, and by the way, as for your friend, or your acquaintance, I should say.
You mean the guy I had the conversation with?
Yes. Okay. First of all, he's advocating genocide based on a religion.
It was. It was a full-scale advocacy of, it was a killing. He would like to see every single Muslim on the planet dead.
Yeah, I mean, that's just appalling right there. And then to say that...
But see, now, bear in mind, let's try to at least, you know, we're liberals, you know, we listen to both sides, because his argument is that they would gladly kill all of us in order to bring perfect Islam to the world.
Okay, he's obviously just knows nothing about Islam. Because if you are, quote, a person of the book, you're fine.
No, you're not really, Susan. You get to pay a tax.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't lose your head. I would lose my head.
You would. You're not a person of the book.
You bet.
Hindus are not persons of the book.
No. But somebody like your
Buddhists, not persons of the book, fit to be killed.
Yeah, Jews, Christians, they'll stay alive. So I don't see what he's got to worry about.
Well, you know, what was disturbing to me was this notion that, no, we wouldn't fight back.
Yeah, that's where I was going next. Give him the message next time you see him. My ancestors, I've got quite a few ancestors whose ghosts are romping around in Appalachia. And by the way, what's wrong with being a moonshiner?
Oh, well, not much by my measure.
Mine neither. Mine were. and they were all Scots, so they, you know, they believed it.
Well, you know, that's why the old saying is what it is.
Yeah,
The English came and built a house, the Germans came and built a barn, the Scottish came and built a still.
Right. Now, what I'm trying to say is the Scots have a long history of fighting back.
We don't just have a long history of fighting back. We have a long history of fighting for the fun of it.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. You have to admit.
I think a Scotsman invented hockey.
Yes. Yeah. What can I say? We like to fight, but...
Oh, you know, I'm going to strap my skates on and go across the pond and smack the living stew out of my neighbor.
Yeah, but by the same token, we also invented golf, you know, so what... Oh, God.
Again, another game involving clubs.
Yeah.
You know, that was... Golf, you got to understand, Susan, golf was a peace initiative.
In a way, yeah.
We've got this wee tiny ball, and what we want you to do is take the clubs they've been using on your neighbor's head and use it on the ball instead. Because if we're using it on the ball and we can hit the ball a long way and put it in a wee tiny hole...
You avoid the feud.
Then we've got a better chance of saving the clubs till we get to use it on the English next time.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not nice people, the Scots.
No, hell no.
We wouldn't want us for a neighbor.
God, no. If the Scots have this kind of history with England to the point where they were literally committing genocide to get rid of us, what makes this idiot think we're going to sit around and sit still for a potential conqueror?
Well, honest to God, here we sit, you know, and that's the thing that really gets under my skin, Susan, is you get these dumbass speeches from George Bush about how, you know, we found out on 9/11 that the oceans will no longer protect us. They're still protecting us. You still got to sail a daggum navy over. You know, okay, you took down some buildings, and no offense to the listeners in New York City. It was hurtful. It was traumatic. It was awful. And if you took down a grain silo in Kansas, I'd feel the same way. But it does not defeat the United States of America. These gutless people that would like to do this, A, can't muster an army. B, can't get here. And see, that's the whole thing behind why the Iraq War was a damn crime. You know, there was a point at which Condoleezza Rice and Tony Blair said that Saddam had already blown up his little rubber seahorse, the floaty device from his swimming pool, and had himself a little paddle and a nuclear device, and he was going to start rowing for London just any minute now.
Any second. We were the ones that had the Navy. We were the ones that had committed the war crime by invading a nation.
We have the Middle Eastern problem that we have chosen to have.
Yeah. It's our fault. We stepped in it. It's our fault. And by extension, it's the people of the United States' fault. And, you know, the people in Iraq, the Iraqis who are busily building those IEDs and blowing our soldiers up, they're not terrorists, they're freedom fighters.
Well, they're people who happen to live there, and you know what? If they were over here,
We'd be doing the same thing. I'm not much with a gun, but I'm hell on wheels with a knife.
Yeah. You know, Agnes would stand around with a knife and an abacus. I mean, that's just what she is. And that's how we are.
Yeah. The United States has been invaded during the Revolutionary War and during the War of 1812. We didn't react well.
We didn't win.
Yeah.
But we did put on a nice little bloodbath in New Orleans and set the stage for Andrew Jackson to go and do a little genocide, but you know, that's neither here nor there. But the fact remains, we're really not worth screwing with.
Yeah, because you'd have 30 million screaming men. Well, not 30 million. You'd have to count out the Bushies. They would promptly turn into quislings.
Well, I mean, look, the entire mailing list of Focus on the Family would learn to say Allah Akbar in less time than it takes you to say God bless James Dobson. All right, that's the way these people are. You know, I have no confidence whatsoever in the religious right or the people who follow them or so-called conservatives, because you know it wouldn't take a lot of explaining for some sort of Muslim invader force, and you got to get to the point where you can even imagine one of those.
Yeah.
No, to get to America and explain to America that, you know, our values are your values. We hate gambling. Just like you Baptists and Church of Christ and all of you fundamentalists and Pentecostals, every time another state wants to add a lottery and pass a lottery bill, you all come out and say, you know, gambling is against the law because they gambled for the raiment of Christ. We can't have no gambling. And the Muslims go, hey, look, you know, we forbid gambling. And you know, I grew up in Alabama, and it was a dry county, Susan. And dry county means we don't sell none of it. And every time there was a referendum to allow booze sales in Lauderdale or Colbert County, Alabama, the Lauderdale Citizens for Decency and Morality would come out, and they were funded by the churches. Okay? And the churches would get hand in hand with the bootleggers. We don't need no alcohol sales around here because it says in the Bible, drink not the strong liquor. Well, the Muslims would say, hey, conservatives, we're part of a religion that forbids the consumption of alcohol.
And then there's the ultimate. We are part of a religion that controls our women.
And then all of a sudden, the Trent Lotts and the Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions of the Foot and the Richard Shelbys and the Saxbitch Hamblesses and the Richard Dements, Jim Dements or whatever, and the Jim Inhofes and the Coburns all go, say, what? Sign me up. Give me a rug.
Give me a beekeeper suit.
Going to take it home to the little woman. She's going to look mighty good in it.
Yeah, exactly. Me and the women, if they've got any brains at all, promptly proceed to cut the guy's throat and run like hell.
I mean, Agnes has got some pretty eyes, but that ain't all of Agnes I want to see.
Any man who believes that that a woman is going to be faithful strictly because she's wearing a beekeeper suit has absolutely no idea of human nature at all.
Well, you know, I fear we've broken new ground on the program tonight, Susan, because I don't know. I think somehow I've become Bob Kincaid, mean liberal redneck.
Mean Scots liberal redneck.
Aye, and ain't that the truth?
I'm going to let you go.
You ever held a golf club, Susan?
No, afraid not. Golf's not my thing, I'm afraid. I'm a really poor Scot.
You know, just walk into a sporting goods store someday. It'll do your little Scott soul good. Tell them to hand you a 9-iron.
What's that?
You're just going to love it when you get it in your hands.
Is it good for clobbering people?
Oh, if you take it in a backswing and you come back and you sort of let your wrist get into the ball before the head of the club, it'll take a human being's head off.
Oh, if it can be used as a weapon, I'm all for it.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's why they call... I mean, because most people have forgotten it, but because most of the clubs are numbered like 9-iron, 2-iron, 3-iron. No, no. There are clubs, and they have original Scots names, and the really hardcore golfers still call them by it. They'll say, hand me my mashie. It's called a mashie. Because it'll mash your tiny skull in.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. I mean, these are instruments of war that were converted to peacetime purposes.
Well, the Scots women, they had cast iron frying pans from day one. They just used those.
Oh, you know, the last time I mentioned Agnes threatening me with a frying pan, I got called down in the chat room. So, you know, I won't do that. But, yeah,
there is nothing better as a weapon of war than a cast iron frying pan. You do not argue with one of them suckers.
And some of them will stop a bullet.
The only other thing better than that to fight off a mugger is my purse.
Oh, you mean the urban assault bag?
You bet.
Agnes has one of those too.
I did fight off a mugger with one with a purse of mine once.
Oh, no. Any woman's purse is like a living example of the laws of inertia. You know, things in the bodies in motion tend to remain in motion, and bodies at rest tend to remain at rest. And when the body at rest gets hit by the body in motion, the body at rest is not at rest anymore.
Not to mention a living example of a portable space warp, because you would swear to God that there is no way that they could put everything that goes into.
Oh, it's a little black. Yeah, it's a black hole.
Yeah, and you know, just whoop. But I actually
straight out of Heinlein.
Mugger.
And good
for I hit him with it, and he went down, stayed down until the cops came.
Atta girl. Yeah, me and a little Scots.
You bet.
Take care, Susan.
You have a real nice night. Have fun out with the music, Agnes.
Thank you.
She will. Have a great weekend.
Enjoy it too, Bob.
Yeah, I've been known to.
Oh, and by the way, I hope you noticed, Bob, just for you, the article about your Mountaineers is up on the blog.
I did see that. I don't know if I'm so, you know, but, you know, the T-shirt thing. I want one of those
this
T-shirts.
This is about the T-shirt thing.
No, it's about, I know, it's about us winning, but I want one of the T-shirts because I want to hang on to that.
Yeah, I'd ought to go for a bundle in a few years.
Yeah, West Virginia. Take
and
care.
One thing. As for Roanoke, the only thing Roanoke is famous for is for getting wiped out.
But you've got an aunt there. We all do.
You have a nice night, Bob.
See you, Susan. Bye now. 23 and a half minutes after the hour, and before we go back to the phones, just one thing. There's some stuff that I can't let... Because, see, we get involved in conversation. Everything that I intend to bring up goes by the boards. We're going to take a break. There's a story we have to cover before we go back to the phones. Yeah, this is supposed to be a country of religious tolerance. Guess what? We can't even tolerate a chocolate Jesus. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers,
They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism.
And that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts.
And will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
Okay, we're going to go back to the phones in a minute and finish out the program, but there's one that I just can't let go by. One story that just has to happen, has to be mentioned. Headline, Chocolate Jesus exhibit canceled after uproar. From the Associated Press, a planned Holy Week exhibition of a nude, anatomically correct chocolate sculpture of Jesus was canceled Friday amid a choir of complaining Catholics that included Cardinal Edward Egan and Catholic League President Bill Donahue. That is his name, isn't it? Bill Donahue? Bill Donahue said it was, quote, one of the worst assaults on Christian sensibilities ever, unquote. One of the worst. There's not a quote in here about, you know, because he's been on TV shows and he's just about wet himself over Piss Christ, the one with the crucified Christ in the bottle of urine. But no, chocolate is one of the worst assaults on Christianity ever. Now, I was kind of gooning on Islam a little bit ago. And I was gooning on Islam because they believe in things like horses that fly to heaven. Screw that. You know, it's not like we don't believe in, you know, the Christians don't believe in stupid, impossible things like people coming back from the dead. So, wait. Let's go over this paragraph again. A planned Holy Week exhibition of a nude, anatomically correct chocolate sculpture. So, in other words, the Jesus in chocolate doesn't have any clothes on. In other words, he's like, oh, say, the 5,000 people that Crassus crucified every 100 yards along the Appian Way after the revolt of Spartacus in what, 50 AD? 60? Or BC? Because, you see, you didn't get to wear your clothes for crucifixion. Like I said a little bit ago talking to Susan, you know, every time a gambling bill comes up, like Alabama wants a lottery, the Southern Baptists come out and say, we can't have a lottery, that's gambling, that's a sin, because they gambled and cast dice over the raiment of Jesus. That means Jesus was naked on the cross! Dumbasses! Dumbass Baptists! Dumbass Catholics! Dumbass Presbyterians. Dumbass Episcopalians. Dumbasses. Was canceled Friday amid a choir of complaining Catholics that included Cardinal Edward Egan. The My Sweet Lord display was shut down by the hotel that houses the Lab Gallery in Midtown Manhattan, said Matt Semler, the gallery's creative director. Now, once and for all, can we put to bed this bigotry about how the Muslims are the crazy ones?
Oh, Jesus, they burnt down a newspaper office because of some cartoons over Muhammad.
Well, that's pretty crazy. But you know what? A chocolate Jesus just got shut down by a bunch of pissed off Catholics. What were the Catholics going to do? What was the hotel that houses the Lab Gallery in Midtown Manhattan afraid of? That they'd go outside and pray? Uh-uh. They were afraid that a bunch of crazy so-called Christians would burn their building down. So, please, if anybody is fair and balanced, by God, it's me. And I will brook no more comparisons.
Well, you know, the Christians are the nice people.
People have to go and hide. I mean, there's a picture here in the story I'm looking at of this crucified Christ minus the cross. Granted, the guy was a Nazarene, and he doesn't have, and in this depiction, he doesn't even have a chocolate sprinkle hair on him. He's a Nazarene. He had a back like a gorilla, for God's sakes. I mean, it's just population dynamics. We know that because we know. But according to the sculpture here, apparently Jesus had a Brazilian wax 1,400 years before the discovery of Brazil. So I just want to work with this for a minute here, because I'm looking at a picture of him. He's anatomically correct and he's naked. What, has the Pope declared that Jesus didn't have a penis and that's why he didn't get married? Was Jesus a girl? Does the Pope know something he's not telling us? This is so much crap. But at the end of the day, the final analysis, you want to know where this all comes from? I'll tell you. Because I'm looking at a picture of it. You know what Cardinal Edward Egan is pissed off about? You know what Bill Donahue, president of the Catholic League, is pissed off about? You already know, don't you? I'm watching the chat room. There it is. Our good friend liberal me. Bob, let me ask, was it dark chocolate? If so, that's the problem. Bingo! We have a winner. Bill Donahue and Cardinal Egan, who God knows what he's done to some little boy in his lifetime, are pissed off. Not, well, they're kind of pissed off because they're showing Jesus with a Johnson. But more than anything else, they're pissed off because they're showing Jesus with his natural skin tone. Go to Rome. Walk into St. Peter's. When I was there many, many, many years ago, it wasn't contained behind glass, but it is now because some crazy bastard went after it with a hammer. But Michelangelo's Pietà sits in St. Peter's. And in the Pietà, Mary, who was a virgin once upon a time before she had sex, and was not a virgin anymore thereafter, because there's no such thing as magic. Mary, the weeping mother of Yeshua, holds his crucified, dead form in her arms, in her lap. And it's carved in marble. And granted, Jesus sort of has a, like, dish towel over his Johnson. But the bottom line is, that marble, oh, sunshine, that marble is white. And this chocolate, this milk chocolate, this beautiful milk chocolate is the color of probably half the world's population. And that, my friends, that, my conversationalists, that is what pisses off Cardinal Edward Egan. That is what pisses off Bill Donahue of the Catholic League, who goes on television shows and says, Jews killed Christ. The skin color of Christ represented in this statue, this sculpture, is the skin color of Christ as he existed. So, rock hard, marble, white Jesus, okay. Malleable, meltable, transfigurable, brown chocolate Jesus, reason to riot and burn down a hotel in New York City. So if we get nothing else out of this, for the love of God, let us have out of this the knowledge that it's not just the fundamentalist Muslims that are the crazy ones. Anybody who believes that you can eat a cracker and it turns into meat in your belly is just as crazy as somebody who believes that a dude went from a cave on the Saudi Peninsula to Jerusalem and then rode Pegasus into heaven. Crazy, 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 crazy. It's all crazy. Okay? We'll come back to your phone calls. This is the Head On Radio Network. I expect a fatwa any minute now, an ugly letter from William Donahue. Bite me, both of you. I'm Bob Kincaid.
the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
That's the Big Dipper over there.
Yellow and blue make green.
Well, a cow pie really isn't a pie.
Come on, Beth, open your eyes!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
1, 2, 3, My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and if I don't for sure.
You know, when that album first came out, I said that was the most Beatlesque song that had come out in probably 20 years, and I stand by my estimation. A couple of emails before we go to the phones. Our good friend Billy Shears writes in, Ted Haggard saw the My Sweet Chocolate Lord and wanted a bite. He's gay again! And another writer who apparently is familiar with the waxing process. Subject, the Jesus wax job. I'm crying. Rolling on the floor laughing. Just lie still, Mr. Jesus. Finished in a few minutes. You know, but that's the thing with the stupidity of theology. You have to spend 1,200 years contemplating whether or not Jesus had pubic hair. You know, if he wasn't gonna, you know, if he wasn't gonna get it on, what did he need? And see, I got a feeling that if they had done this in white chocolate and if they'd hung a dish towel over his Johnson, there wouldn't have been a problem. Because See, by making him anatomically correct, you make him the equivalent of a Ken doll. And the questions you have to answer from your 5-year-old Barbie fanatic. Mommy, what's that dangly thing? And again, you know, because there's no dish towel, you got 1,400 years of wasted time and dumbass theology of, well, okay, Jesus had a penis. Now what do we do? Did Jesus masturbate? No, he only peed with it, and he did it sitting down. This is the stupidity of theology. This is angels dancing on the head of a pin. Of course Jesus had a Johnson. And odds are, at about the age of 12, he figured out that it was... Well, okay, I'll stop. Somebody's having a fit right now. I can tell by virtue of the fact that Agnes is beginning to quiver. I'll go back. I'll go to the phones. Preston joins us from Denver. Hey, Preston, welcome to the program. I'm sorry, man.
No problem. I didn't know about that story. That was interesting to learn about that. It reminded me of when my brother-in-law used to work at a Borders bookstore in Omaha, Nebraska. He was in charge of doing the displays that had particular themes depending on what month it was. And I think it's, well, I'm not sure what month it is, but Gay Rights Month came around, and he put up a bunch of books of, you know, Robert Mapplethorpe photos and, you know, a whole range of very interesting stuff that offended some people. And the right-wing Christians started picketing the store. And he'd go out there and give them coffee and donuts and speak with them, and then the news people would come out, and it would be on TV. So it brought all this great publicity to the store, and it kind of worked out okay.
Yeah, don't go away. Keep picketing. We need the work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, the curator of this gallery resigned when they canceled the exhibit.
That's a shame.
So the dude's out of work.
Yep. And you have to wonder how many more progressive religious people were supporting that person or supporting that artwork.
Well, if you go to the story that I'm looking at, Preston, comes from NBC.
Okay.
It's an Associated Press story, but there's a lovely picture and there's some video you can watch. I'm sure it doesn't show the, you know, the business end of things, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But it's a beautifully rendered statue. I mean, he's gaunt, he's tormented, he's hollowed, he's sort of sorry and pitiful looking, like the Catholics like him.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And there's only two things to object. Well, maybe three. One, he's naked, like every human being was crucified. You know, the Romans weren't big on dignity when they got down to crucifixion.
No.
Two, he's brown. And three, he is not timeless. You know, you got to keep him in cool temperatures or he melts.
Interesting.
You know, your savior will melt in your hand.
Maybe they'll put a candy coating on top of it at some point.
Yeah, but I only, you know, if I get a contract and I go to do a remote, I only get green Jesuses in the bowl, okay? No brown Jesuses. Me and Van Halen.
I remember when there was some controversy over a, I think there was a Mary who was,
yeah, there was a port
with the cow dung.
Yeah, it was buffalo dung or okay. elephant dung is what it was.
Okay. And again, there are people who whipped up a fury about that.
And they were ready to burn down the museum.
Right. And they used those stories to kind of try to defund the arts. And, you know, again, how you look at that art depends on who's looking at it, you know, and cow dung is a very sacred substance to people all over the world. You know,
there are some people who, without dried cow dung or dried elephant dung or dried dung of some form, would die.
Yep.
Because it is the fuel that cooks their food and maintains the warmth in their mud hut.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because those people happen to live close to the earth and close to the existence or end of life.
Yep.
And it's a razor's edge margin.
Vandana Shiva, I don't know if you've read her work. She publishes with Z Magazine, South End Press, and she's an Indian scholar, physicist, and now an environmentalist and organizer of peasants there. And she's written a lot of interesting work on the role of cows in their agriculture system, their struggle against Monsanto and their genetically modified stuff.
Well, there's a reason on the subcontinent that you don't eat cattle because they're much more valuable alive.
Yeah.
And in fact, most Americans don't know, and probably most Europeans, that the Romans would only eat cattle if they were starving.
Oh, okay.
They kept cattle for milk. They kept cattle primarily not even for milk, but for leather. Beyond that, they'd just as soon go hungry or, you know, eat vegetables as eat cow.
Interesting. There's an effort here in the Midwest, in the Plains states, to bring back buffalo. They'd like to, tear down some of those huge expanses of fences and barbed wire that so many animals get caught in, tear it down, replant the native grasses, and bring back the buffalo and other plains animals and kind of create a Serengeti of sorts that would bring, you know, tourists from all over the world and that kind of thing.
Well, and that would be a beautiful thing to behold, but, you know, Preston, you and I talk about books a lot.
Yeah.
Charles C. Mann's 1491 is very, very educational in this point. He makes the argument that those teeming herds of thousands of buffalo that ran across the plains and stuff were only a function of what happened to the native population after the advent of the white man and spread of white disease, because there's no evidence in the archaeological record that herds ever got to that size otherwise.
Interesting.
And he argues that Native Americans managed their environment at a level that was almost micromanagement.
That's true. And they would do huge burns and stuff like that. They had a very advanced science about it. Some people speculate that the Indians in the Amazon planted the forest. Amazon rainforest.
There is, and he goes into that. I've been emailing back and forth with Mr. Mann, trying to get him on the show, and I think I will eventually have him on here. What he describes out of the research in the Amazon is absolutely amazing, because there are entire landscapes that are made up. You know those little pills of white styrofoam or whatever when you buy potting soil.
Yes, I do.
Okay,
actually.
In the Amazon basin, there are entire ranges of arable earth that contain literally millions upon millions of pieces of crushed pottery sherds. It is built soil.
Okay.
And, you know, that doesn't happen when the volcano erupts. That happens when people manage the earth upon which they live. And it goes completely against all the previous scholarship that says, well, you know, it's a wet place, it's very thin soil, it's hard to live in, and, you know, they just lived from hand to mouth. He even goes so far as to cite literature that notes that if you take a stone hand axe in regard to slash and burn agriculture, if you take that stone hand axe and you go after a tree in the Amazon basin, it will take you the better part of 3 or 4 days to take that tree down.
Wow.
And then burn it. If, however, you have a steel axe head, it's done in an hour or two. So the thing that's coming out of the modern scholarship is that the slash-and-burn agriculture that has so long been described as being the raison d'être of the Amazon Basin peoples is a fraud. Slash and burn is what they came up with after the white man brought the steel.
Yep, and when you have a chainsaw that, you know, those trees go down really quickly.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw, but there's a news story out today that Brazil is going to make a profound effort to provide wireless internet to the indigenous peoples of the interior Amazon basin so that they can report via email illegal logging.
That's great. You know, some people are using cell phone video to report crimes against humanity and crimes against nature.
How nifty it is, though, Preston, that the government of Brazil will do that for its indigenous peoples, and yet we have to go with our hat in our hand begging to get coal companies to stop burying entire ravines.
Right. And speaking of species getting wiped out, whereas before they were managed so well, the salmon runs, you know, were so huge and so teeming, you know, you could put your hands in the rivers and take them out. And then they start putting up these hydroelectric dams, and that was really demolishing a lot of the species of salmon. Winona LaDuc, actually, she's done a lot of writing on this stuff and has brought lawsuits. She's a Harvard-educated lawyer, and she's always taking these power companies to court and winning sometimes. And but she's written about the loss of the salmon species and how her she's in Minnesota, and mm-hmm. her tribe, the Ojibwa, they grow a wild rice, and they're afraid of this genetic kind of pollution from these genetically modified organisms.
Yeah, the stuff that blows on the wind and hybridizes.
Right, the pollen growing and integrating with the wild stuff.
Preston, I'm sorry I made you wait so long. That's We're okay. out of time, but I tell you what, if you'll call back, we'll have a nice long conversation.
I'd like that.
I promise you that. Go ahead.
Real quickly, I want to thank Bob of North Dakota for opening up his heart like that. That was a very, very powerful words he was saying. It reminded me of a man who called into the Dr. Laura show and did the exact same thing, talked about the painful killing that he did when he was in the military, and he wept about it. But I'm sure it was painful, but very healing for all of us to hear that and hear that expressed. So I appreciate it very much.
I'm glad you said that, Preston. You have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The show tonight was produced by my lovely, darling, talented wife, Agnes. It was engineered by John Fox in Sydney, Australia. Our announcer is Brian Reznor. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the streams, the archives, the podcasts of everything that happens on the Horn. He has a fundraiser going on. Get behind Ben. He won't send you a bill. It's all up to you if you haven't given yet. We have wonderful moderators in the chat room. If you've never been by the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com chat room, go there. We have message boards for you at HeadOnRadio.com. And every minute that happens on the Horn happens because there are several thousand members of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights who get up every day and go and build the American dream. And in building the American dream and supporting this network, well, they're helping to save the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.